Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Yeah, why not? Let's do that. Yeah, I was just texting my new guest today, so just getting the phone number here right now. 832, so 215-383-832. There we go. Okay. So I have someone new to introduce to the show, and asking you shall receive. Isn't this great? I love this modern age, right? So I hop on Facebook, send a quick message, and all of a sudden there is my wonderful new guest. So we're going to give a round of applause because I don't have I'm working on my new guest theme, so we'll get that going. First things first, though, here we go. And let's see if I can pronounce your name right. So it's Laura Abalesi. Is there an Italian inflection there that I should be putting in?
Yeah, very good. Laura Abalesi, you got it.
Well, welcome from Canada. I'm not sure if we've had a Canadian call before, but I'm really excited. I mean, first of all, I was born in Toronto. My folks took me to Australia when I was 8 years old and then to the United States when I was 12. And so it's been interesting to sort of grow up in three different countries. But Canada is kind of like my big mystery because I left when I was a kid. I went back once when my grandfather passed away for his funeral, and that was it. So it's like, I want to go back. I want to go see my country. I'm naturalized. American. I'm an American citizen now, but the funny thing is, wherever you're from, there's always a certain loyalty and a certain the whole tradition of where you're born. At least it means a whole lot to me, and I've never been prouder of being a Canadian than I am right now. What's going on in Canada?
So
introduce yourself, tell us who you are,
and
let me know what you think. And we have a ton of things to talk about. So first of all, I'm really excited to have you here. Welcome to Action Radio, Laura.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I was born in Toronto as well. I did live in Italy as a little girl up until about I was 9.
My
family went back and forth. Oh, yeah, I speak fluent, and my grandma is 95, and she doesn't really speak English, so speak Italian. Yeah, so, and I left in 95 and went to London, Ontario, I'm just in around the Hamilton area now.
Okay, where were you in Italy?
I've been here 10 years, so.
Yeah.
In Sicily. I'm Sicilian.
Interesting. Yeah. See, I don't know much about Sicily. I kind of want to go to the opposite end, the Tuscany end of it, because I'd be curious to see how it is in Italy. But after college, I did the Europe tour, the grand tour, as they call it. So I was gone for almost 3 months, and I went by myself. I asked all my friends. No one wanted to go with me. So it's like, okay, fine. Screw you. I'm going to go myself. This sounds like fun.
Right.
So, never let the fact that people don't want to join you stop you from a great adventure. And I'm glad I went by myself because I met more people, more Americans, more Canadians, more British, more Germans, more everybody just traveling around. Europeans travel. And this was in the spring of 82. I crossed the Berlin Wall at Checkpoint Charlie. I mean, all kinds of incredible things. But Italy, I absolutely loved Italy.
Yeah.
And so I want to go back. I think I made a mistake that I went to Pisa instead of Florence just because I was anxious to get to France and the south of France. But I should have gone to Florence, but I hear it was just like wildly crowded and crazy. And so when I go
I was there for my 50th. It was amazing.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen your picture. If you're 50 or plus, you look outstanding. So it's you're doing something
thank
right.
Thank you. I am 50 plus. I just have a grandson now.
Oh, congratulations! Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. Yeah, and I'm over 60, and it's interesting that age is. There was I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, but there's this post going around that the most productive time in our lives is 60 to 70. The second most is 70 to 80, and the third most is 50 to 60. And having started Action Radio in my mid-50s, and I've been at this about 7 years now, the Action Radio show about 5, we should talk age at some point because I feel I'm at my, brightest, sharpest, most capable, most resourceful, most daring, most energetic. Maybe not, I don't know if I can do things physically like I was in my 20s. I'm going to take a martial arts course again and find out. But as far as energy and attitude. I'm getting stronger as I get older. Do you notice that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think you mean physically?
No. I mean mentally and emotionally and energetically.
I was
going to
say. Well,
and ambition-wise. No, physically, I don't know what I can. Know, like I said, I'm going to take a martial arts course. I feel kung fu in my 20s. You know, let's see what I can still do.
I think you just get beat up so many times in life that you have no choice but to get strong. And especially with what's going on in the world today. It's like,
oh, yeah, and yeah, we're
going
to get to that, too. I just wanted to sort of introduce you first. But, yeah,
yeah
well, so
yeah,
so
yeah.
You're of the Nietzsche philosophy, that what doesn't kill you or that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's another topic. Like, I can discuss that with, you know, I've got 4 books and stuff at another call, but absolutely.
So I already know I want you for a regular reporter. I decided that in the first 30 seconds. So I'm pretty good. Now that's up to you. Now think about it. You don't have to tell me now. I'm just saying that I can tell pretty, I'm pretty good on instinct. And so, yeah, I think we have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I definitely want to hear about your 4 books and, you know, especially calling in from Canada. I think that I want to branch out. I've got folks that I'm talking to right now. In fact, I have a Skype line, so I have to remember to routinely check it because I put the word out to the folks that I'm talking to in Australia, New Zealand, and Israel. And
right.
So anyone of whom might call in today too. So this could be, of course, anybody else is welcome to call in too. This is our, the last international call we had with my friend Anthony Williams in New Zealand. And he's from here. Actually, he's from Wisconsin, moved to Florida, and his dream was to go to New Zealand. And then, of course, he walked in there during all the mandates and everything else. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's kind of interesting. Well, let's – the hour's going to go too quickly. I know me. If I don't start talking right away about the
group, right.
we'll never get to it. So let's talk about the state of COVID first, then we'll get to the rally itself. You have, I think, what we had in states like Michigan, New York, California, the Marxist states, as I call them, Hawaii, you know, and various other, like New England states and Eastern Seaboard states, basically draconian, unconstitutional mandates for something that, and I argue with Shelby on this all the time, but as far as I'm concerned, there was no, you know, the pandemic of the virus was done July of 2020, and I can prove it with a CDC chart. Where the trend of COVID went from basically zero and started picking up in January of 2020. I think I had it then. So like December 2019, January 2020, it was 2 weeks of my show where I sound like hell. Nobody knew what it was. My voice, I'm coughing all the time. What the hell is going on here? So I took a couple of days off, completely slept, and I was fine. But
I'm pretty sure March of 2020, before they announced that we had COVID, that I never get sick and that I had COVID. I was mm-hmm. flat out in bed for 5 days, like didn't move. Like it was, mm-hmm. I had, you know, the chills and the aches and the fever and I had it all. And, mm-hmm. And then March 17th, we went into lockdown and, you know, we watched, so many countries and the things that, you know, happened. And we thought, wow, thank God we're not that in Ontario. And,
yeah.
And go and help us. Oh my goodness. Like we are, it's exhausting. I don't even know where to begin because we sit here and go, what the heck is going on? I mean, clearly you've seen who's running our country. I watched, I love Tucker Carlson. I watched him last night and he couldn't stop laughing. And I thought, okay, wait a sec. They've got Biden who they're laughing at in the entire world. And now
that's a really good point.
You know,
yeah.
And now they got Trudeau that they're laughing at in the entire world. It's ridiculous. So I've been against this. Well, you know, I knew there was a problem from day one. I believed it in the first couple of weeks. And then I started watching a lot of started listening to a lot of things. And I thought, mm-hmm. no, this isn't real. And now I have not followed any rules in 2 years. I don't wear a mask. I'm not mm-hmm. vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I don't. And Christmas, for example, is a perfect example where everybody you know, the unvaccinated couldn't go anywhere, so we didn't. And they all got sick. And it was funny because a friend of mine and I were at a coworker's place. They had all gone to a restaurant the day before. Thursday, we were at this gentleman's place. Sunday, I get an email. We were at the restaurant. Four people tested positive. We've been exposed to COVID. Everybody got COVID except for the two ladies that were unvaccinated.
Gee, what a surprise. What a freaking surprise.
And they all didn't get Christmas. None of them were able to do Christmas. And my friend and I were looking at each other going, we were beside these people. We hugged them. We, you know, hung up. Like, we were just literally in the same house, in the same kitchen.
Yeah, but you had immunity already. You'd already had it.
Yeah, so we think, because obviously, I mean, I don't know. I haven't tested for antibodies.
Well, no, same thing with me. The tests don't work. We had to go back to my show on Lab Tech X. We had a clinical lab technician actually tell us that the tests are ridiculous. They're 90 to 95% false positives. They don't test properly. They're not geared for viruses anyway. They're geared for some kind of genetic, you know, material lipase indicator. I mean, whatever it is, don't work. So there is no test for COVID. There's certainly no test for what I call the Omicold. I think I had the Omicold.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, after a hospital checkout. Yeah, so I had the Omicold about a month and a half ago. Well, I forgot what it was. Yeah, anyway. So a few weeks ago, I had the Omicold. And so I already got over that. That was like 5 days. But it reminded me of like a little COVID. And so, again, I haven't been tested because there's no point. He's not going to tell
there's
you anything
no
anyway.
There's no point.
But you go back to the symptoms. Yeah,
I've had people. I've had people take the test and they put water in one, Coke in another one, and you know, like, and the water one tested positive.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They're horrible because there's enough COVID out there. You'll probably test positive if you've already had it too, because you probably got some remnants of COVID. Everybody has COVID. I mean, the entire world has COVID in their system now, because that's what a virus does. We all have the flu viruses, the cold viruses, we have the COVID virus. We have all the viruses that are out there go through us, and that's why we have a nose, you know, to stop it. You know, so, and this is why they have to, they're putting the swabs, you know, beyond that. Yeah, it's weird, up under your brain.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so you've obviously seen the convoy, the truckers, and I mean, it's the first, so I'll tell you something. I think it's the first time in 2 years that, you know, we feel like we have some hope. I mean, this man has lost.
We'll give him a round of applause, too. That's for the truckers and all the supporters.
Yes.
Who are out in the freezing cold.
He's,
sub-zero Ottawa.
Absolutely. And my friends are, some of my friends are like, Laura, I'm surprised you weren't there. I was in London, Ontario for the week, so I didn't make it, but my friend went. And it's amazing, the announcement that he made yesterday. And there is nothing but love there. I went to, like last Thursday, they were at the truck stops in London, Toronto, Burley, and I went to the one, and there was nothing but love. People opening up their vehicles with food and coffee and donuts. And I mean, and Trudeau has the audacity to say that they're stealing food from the homeless.
Well, he's just lying. He's doing what all dictators do. He's lying. He's lying because that's all he's got. He knows the truth is against him. He knows everything's a lie. He's disappeared. He says he has COVID, you know, which is interesting for a double vaccinated, boosted, you know, socialist Marxist.
Yeah,
so he's got COVID. So he just proved the vaccines don't work. Thanks, Justin. Nice job there, dude. You know, Mr. Blackface.
Right.
You know, well, listen, all the posters there, I'm looking at this. But here's what I find so fascinating. You know, Canadians don't do this. Canadians, you know, put maple syrup on everything. Everybody's last name is McKenzie. And you guys, the only place that violence breaks out is at a hockey game. This is so uncharacteristic.
Right.
You know, so everybody's watching Canada going, what the hell are the Canadians doing? You see, if you've upset the Canadians, you know you've done something really bad, you know, because, you know, I remember up in Canada, I mean, I grew up, I was there in the 60s. You know, I don't even know if Canada had a 60s like the United States did. But it was, you know, I remember Toronto at the time was mostly white people, and I don't think I saw anybody of any other race. I did in Australia when I went there. It was fascinating. I had folks all over the world at my school in Melbourne. in Australia. But in Canada, it was white Protestant, Episcopalian Toronto, old Toronto.
Right.
And I remember there was a little store. I don't know if it's still there. Halls, where I used to go have like these tuna sandwiches and these horrible paper straws that would dissolve in like 5 minutes. You end up drinking out the glass anyway. So this is 60s Canada, right? And I remember being freezing. I remember the streetcars, the old red and I guess cream top streetcars.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still there. I think they have modern ones now. But Toronto was, this is the first place I knew, and so I remember my address. I want to go see my old house. I want to go see my old school, where it was an asphalt where we played baseball so you didn't slide. Your softball, because it was pure, it was like tar. You didn't slide on that thing. And I guess it would have gotten too muddy during snow season. But anyway, so I have really interesting memories of Toronto Air Show. Which is probably still going on. I used to go watch the Blue Angels when I was like 5, 6 years old. My father took us down to that. And that was very, very cool. I loved airplanes. And I got a whole airplane history. I became a flight instructor. Tried to get in the airlines right when they're all going broke. My timing sucks for almost everything except action radio. And so I'll tell you my flight story sometime too. But I have a book called The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. And so after 2 years of seeing all the problems of how we train pilots, because all my students were making the same mistakes I was making. I'm like, wait a minute, how come they're doing what I did? I'm teaching exactly the way the FAA taught me to teach. And so I realized very quickly that the problem was the way the FAA taught everybody to teach. It's good, but it's nowhere near as good as it could be. And so it was a question of, so my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction, which I've just shamelessly plugged twice. You plug your books too. Don't be shy. This is, you're on my show, you get to plug. Point being that I came up with a new way of teaching flying, much more based on like consulting. And I became a flight consultant. So I learned how people learned. And so it was more of a logical study. How do people learn how to fly, and how do different people learn how to fly? And how can I tailor the instructions so they understand? And not only that, they're good enough to teach me back what they understand so I know they understand. No one goes into that kind of detail in instruction. It's all, procedures beat them into you and away you go. So that's my the revelation. That's when I realized the government, sucks. So wait a minute.
Right.
And here I am now at Action Radio. So it's interesting. So now we're on. Let's get your 4 book titles. We're kind of working. I don't stick to one topic. I'm ADHD as about as much as you can be.
Oh, well,
so
that,
if you get 15,
that is
you,
like. I mean, that is a completely different topic altogether.
Oh, you too?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Well, my book is called Breaking Barriers.
Breaking Barriers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I would definitely love to, get on the show and talk about that. It's basically a woman's journey to finding forgiveness, personal growth, and positive transformation. So, having been raised in Sicily and coming from an Italian background, I've got quite the interesting story, right? So, in thinking, and it's funny because I was like, man, I got to write another book after this event. Like, so many of us are traumatized, and the things that are happening to our families is terrible. Terrible,
like what?
Terrible.
Let's go into some of that. What's traumatizing, Canadians about this whole thing?
Well, first of all, I haven't seen my family in over 2 years.
That's insane.
I've got family in Toronto, my grandma, everyone's been hiding. They've been so, because people are petrified. You give people enough lies, they believe it.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very unfortunate that there's people still to this day, right now, are believing what this man is telling them. And,
Are they more comfortable believing the lies? Do you think that there's a certain amount of, security and fear? It's kind of a reverse way of looking. But psychologically, I'm coming to the conclusion that people seem more comfortable in fear and lie than actually accepting the truth that is not what everybody's being told. you know, there's a certain percentage of folks that like being in bondage, like being locked down, like wearing masks and doing their virtue signaling and like all the restrictions and want to take, you know, 10, 20, 30 vaccines that they're not telling people. I mean, I think there's some more problems out there. Vaccine overdose, we talked about on the show already, but yeah.
I'm sorry, when you're posting that you've been boosted and you haven't done, any research on what you're putting into your body. Yeah, you know what people say, I've put worse things in my body. You know, if I survive that stuff, I'll survive this. And I'm like, but
this
you
is
don't
not
know.
Like anything else. This is messenger RNA DNA modification, suppressing your immune system so that your body will accept foreign messenger RNA to create spike proteins, which are the evil, the most dangerous part of the coronavirus, are the spike proteins, which are breaking off and causing massive blood clots, organ damage, and European soccer players are dropping dead right on the field, some of the healthiest people in the world, and you're racing up to get more of these? That's irrational.
And someone said, oh, well, those players weren't vaccinated.
Oh, really?
So yeah. I think it's made them stupid. I really, really, truly believe this vaccine has removed common sense out of people's heads, like literally. You know what's funny is that I was never a book smart individual. I just, I kind of made it through school, never been book smart. But I'm certainly, definitely 110% street smart. Now, in saying that, I'm looking around thinking, and the people that I've seen, I'm like, but that is one of the smartest people I know. How did that person become the dumbest person I know? Like, I just don't understand.
Did you ask
so,
them?
So,
did you ever ask somebody, why do you believe what you believe?
So
I'm just curious.
Listen, Greg, I got to tell you, I'm exhausted. And I'm exhausted because I've been fighting for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And when I say fighting for 2 years, like people have attacked me on my social media for 2 years. Some people I've had to remove. Some people remove themselves. Some people I'm like, you can just stay there. And if you want to leave, you leave. But I'm just going to keep giving it to you the way I see it. Mm-hmm. And, I go shopping and if someone attacks me because I'm not wearing a mask, don't, especially right now, do not attack me because you're talking to someone who's had enough and you're not going to get a pleasant response from me today because I'm
so that's
tired.
A huge, I want to jump here because that's a huge point because Canadians and most Americans and people in general, they want to be nice to other people. They're courteous, kind, respectful. And for the most part, you know, don't bother me. I'm not going to bother you. But Karen, Karen and the male counterpart, Todd. So the Karens and Todds out there, you know, the metrosexual guys and the frustrated feminist women, you know, they're out there virtue signaling and they're in your life. They want to tell you what to do. Their virtue is ordering you around. They become little health Nazis and they find some virtue in trying to beat people up who aren't conforming to what they think you should do. And that's not what freedom's all about. And so it's interesting, but here's where it gets really good, is folks like you and me are burned out. You know, the next Karen that comes up to me, you know, and in fact, there was something circulated on Facebook. It's kind of funny. It's like someone says, you're not wearing a mask. And the response is, well, I'm not wearing underwear either. What else do you want to know? You know, or just say something.
You want to hear something funny over that one is my sister and I were in Costco before all this, when this kind of was in the beginning of it, and this couple start chasing us around, sort of like yelling at us if we're not wearing a mask. Now my sister has asthma, and so we're walking around, and the guy goes, "Where's your mask?" I said, "Same place my underwear is, at home."
Exactly. That's wonderful. Oh, we gotta give you a gong on that. I'm playing with. I run out of applause. We need to go. That is so funny, though. No, that is great. So that's to wake everybody up, too. So,
speaking of, we were talking about families and stuff. So many people, families, friends, they've been removed, you know, from the family or friendships have been lost. Yeah. well, you know, like 30-40 year friendships have been lost. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding? I'm very, very fortunate. All my best friends, with the exception of one who caved and got the shot,
right.
All my friends that I, my inner circle, none of us are vaccinated, you know, and so, and that's why my sister and I are the black sheep of the family, but, you know, everyone's afraid to be around us. We're like, what are we? Are we lepers? Like, are we going to, like...
No, just you're naturally immune. Like I say, if you already had it, you're naturally immune. This is the weird part.
Well, some of us don't.
Yeah.
You know, some of us. Like, my sister has not had... I don't think my sister has had it. And my sister has been around many people and as well. And, you know, there's lots of
people. She might have had it and not known it, too. That's the other thing. You know, there's no reason to assume that...
True. Who knows?
But here's the other thing too. There are cures. Now, I'll just tell, let me tell you my story real quick here with Action Radio. We do citizen legislation, as you know, if you've had a chance to look at some of our bills and things. And what I did way back in February of 2020 was wrote a bill because I knew we call him Dr. Fascist around here. You know who I'm talking about, right? Dr. Anthony Fauci. So, you know,
right.
I mean, so if you want to combat mass psychosis, one of the most important tools is ridicule. And so I ridicule everybody. In fact, I'm going to play something for you in a couple of minutes here. My Christmas greetings, which will sort of tell you exactly my view of what's going on in Canada. We have so much to talk about. So if you want this regular spot here on our show, let me know. I've set it aside. And so,
awesome.
Something tells me we're going to be doing a lot of talking. Anyway, so Dr. Fascist, who is a pathologically lying genocidal psychopathic vaccine drug pusher. You know, when he started pushing vaccines back in February, or the end of January, beginning of February 2020, I'm like, who is this idiot? Who is this moron who's pushing vaccines for a virus that's already here? You're supposed to get the vaccine before the virus gets here. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, flu shots are before flu season for a reason. Now, I don't think they work, but that's another story. At least their timing is better. So the fact that he's doing this, I'm saying, wait a minute. So I go on my internet and I put in three words, what kills viruses? And all this great stuff came up. And I found this study by Dr. Didier Raoult in Marseille, France, who said that COVID can be killed by chloroquine, which is the precursor to hydroxychloroquine, which is a safer form. Hydroxy, hydrogen, oxygen, you know, high school chemistry. You put those onto the chloroquine molecule and you've got a safer drug. Anyway, so as soon as I knew that, I knew this was all a farce. I knew this was a hoax, not the virus, but the government response to it. So all the closures and the beach closures and the school closures and the lockdowns and the mask mandates and then later the vaccine crap, I knew it was all just a marketing campaign. This whole thing's been a marketing campaign. It's the epitome of fascism. It's a government, big tech, big media, big pharma, big government health cabal, all designed to extract money and exercise control. And so we knew that back, you know, if listeners to my show knew it back in February of 2020. And, of course, on March 2nd, that's when I announced the Raoult study, the chloroquine kills COVID. And we've never backed off for a second. We said all along that the government response is a joke. It's a hoax. It's false. Don't do it. There's no reason. The masks don't work. The vaccines, you know, when they eventually came out, you know, they're a crock, too. That's why more people have died in 2021 than 2020. Because we all got over COVID. I mean, I've got the CDC charts to prove that COVID ended July 4th, our Independence Day, okay? And because the death rate was going from April 15th, well, it started in January at the low, the first few deaths from COVID. It peaked April 15th, and it was heading for zero by July 4th. So I figured by mid-July, real COVID, alpha strain, was gone. After that, it became government COVID. And they saved it. They preserved it with the lockdowns, the mask mandates, the pressure, the stress, the isolation, the suppression of your immune system through fear and everything else. So fear actually perpetuated this virus. So the government saved COVID, not the people. They saved COVID. They wanted to save it long enough to get the vaccines going. And, of course, once they got the vaccines, that's why they started making their money. And so, as we know, vaccines perpetuate the mutations come from those who are vaccinated. This is a pandemic of the vaccinated, something The Atlantic actually said. Which is amazing
for sure.
They did that. So you got Delta came from the vaccinated, Omicron came from the vaccinated. Omicron's great because it gives you immunity to the other strains. That's why they're not talking about it anymore. That's why they don't want, you know, they don't want to talk about the fact that people got it. They got some new strain they're bringing up or whatever's going on. It doesn't matter. But the government is in the vaccine business along with all these other groups, and this is the epitome of fascism, the merging of corporate media and government into a single entity for profit and control. That's what we're dealing with. And we've said that since the very beginning. Haven't backed off for a second. So this is, I'm kind of curious what's going on there. Go ahead.
I think that's what they were hoping, but now I think that their narrative has changed, right?
What are they saying in Canada? What are you hearing?
Well, the one thing that the truckers had said was that, they wanted the Great Reset. We're going to give them the Great Awakening. Right.
See, it's funny you should say that. I just figured out my show title for tomorrow, which is going to be Freedom is the Great Reset. Or the Great Reset is Freedom. I haven't decided yet. That's tomorrow's show. Yeah, exactly.
But basically, they wanted the Great Reset, but they're just going to get the Great Awakening because I sent you an interview that his half-brother did. Did you watch that?
Not yet. I've got it, but I haven't had a chance to do it yet.
That is so good.
Okay, give me a synopsis. Is Trudeau's half-brother?
Basically, Baby Justin? Trudeau's stepbrother. Yeah, they have the same mother. And the interviewer asked him, so if your brother was watching right now, what would you say to him? And he basically said, listen, Justin, he says, you're a frog in boiling water. Get out.
Yeah, see, you don't have your man pants yet, little boy. So shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be a little dictator. Stop taking Napoleon lessons. And, anyway, yeah. That's fascinating. I'll listen to that. I think that's going to be great.
It was amazing. He even talked about Klaus Schwab, he's part of that.
Does he go to Davos and talk to Klaus Schwab? Yeah. So he has the Great Reset from Germany. And actually, that was in Switzerland. So, yeah, so Justin, another one of the world leaders, wants to take over. Yeah, we know how this works and how it turns out.
I have a friend that hates when I do a German accent, but that's what Klaus Schwab is. So. Hey, listen, I want to take a quick break here, play something that's kind of fun for you to listen to. My Christmas greetings from a year ago. This is one of my little protest pieces. So grab a cup of coffee, listen in, and then I want to talk about the truckers and really what's going on in Ottawa right now, as much as you know. So I'm going to play this, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's that time of year again. So here is just a friendly little message from your Action Radio revolutionaries. In preparation for Christmas and New Year's, we have just a few ideas and suggestions to make your holiday complete. Granted, these are times of adversity brought about by bureaucrats and what we affectionately call the leftist lockdown orgasmic power trip. But don't let a completely illegal, martial law style abdication and removal of your constitutional rights get in the way of a decent glass of eggnog with friends. After all, 6-foot social distancing is a completely false concept for a virus that can linger in the air for hours in aerosol form, can be sneezed well over 200 feet, can travel through an entire 10-story building central air system in a couple of minutes, and goes through a mask like a mosquito through a chain link fence. So, no matter what you do, everyone is getting exposed sometime. Leaving the healthy people alone accomplishes this in about 10 weeks. So, this should have been done the end of May. Speaking of masks, besides being a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights against seizure of your person, in this case, your face, without due process, the state can't make you wear a mask. So, go home if you're sick, but if not, go free face, as all real Americans are doing, and enjoy the Christmas season. Apparently, there is the deplorable lack of New Year's resolutions this year. Well, I have one. To resist. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to restore and rejuvenate that inner rugged individual the left has tried so hard to put behind a mask and lockdown, and I'm going to resist. So, you find a creative way to resist, there's your revolution resolution. Remember, folks, those Twilight Zone episodes where people wore masks? They were supposed to make you think, not make you copy them. Family values should be emphasized this Christmas with the traditions that bind us together. Sit as close as you can at dinner. Remember those wet kisses from Grandma when you were a kid? Engage in spirited debates. Don't forget to use serving dishes where everyone sticks their own personal fork and spoon in, all in the interest of sharing. Remind everyone that closing churches violates the First Amendment. Closing businesses without criminal convictions violates our Fifth Amendment right to life, liberty, and property. And closing schools denies our kids their right to an education. So, you may want to point that out to your governors and mayors this festive season so they understand their transgressions and can repent. I would have suggested you go to New York this year, but quite frankly, they don't have the balls to celebrate New Year's. No, really, the ball isn't dropping. Maybe we should rename Times Square Tiananmen Square West. Remember that there are many great gifts you can share this Christmas, particularly AR-15s and AK-47s. Those tend to warm the heart. As we say at Action Radio, world peace through strength. Just remember that everything the government tells you is wrong. So if you want to avoid COVID, don't take the vaccine. Go to the beach instead. Get that sunshine and vitamin D. Stay away from home. Engage in commerce and business. Travel as much as you can. Work out at crowded gyms. Drive extensively, preferably with the windows open. Patronize businesses that are in open rebellion. And resist, resist, resist the doctor dictatorship. In closing, let me just say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Hanukkah. Muslims, you don't have a holiday at this time, so just go eat Chinese food on Christmas Eve and meet some really nice Jewish folks. Hey, they might be your neighbors. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. So that was my Christmas greeting from 2020. It's still in the middle of the lockdown. The vaccines haven't even come out yet. This is what we do around here. So I have my moments of fun. But yeah. So you can rebel and humor and ridicule. There's a bunch of folks that were talking about mass psychosis, particularly on Joe Rogan's show before he became a coward and just apologized to everybody. But when he was actually a real, you know, journalist reporting stuff, he had Dr. Robert Malone and Peter McCullough on. Mm-hmm. And they talked about mass psychosis, and that's what we're under right now. It's just a perpetual fear, you know, an irrational fear for no reason, which the government exploits for their own purposes. And one of the ways you combat that is ridicule. So I do things like this. I got a bunch of these that I made during the lockdowns, and now, you know, making fun of Trudeau, you know, calling him the you know, little Justin or anything you want to do to him. This is all part of resisting tyranny. And it's a very important part because they have no sense of humor. These people can't stand mm-hmm. being made fun of. So one of the best things we can do, I mean, you know, all these, I have people talking about, you know, we need civil war, we need armed rebellion. I'm like, shut the hell up. No, we don't. Let's do this the peaceful way. But humor is one of the most effective weapons we have, and this is why I like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got any Canadian humorists making fun of things, or what are you guys talking about up there?
Well, there's so many Trudeau memes that, you know, I just know what it scared the crap.
Feel free to share.
He's coming out of his cottage to do his little stupid talk, his lying talk. He's coming out. And he's standing there, and then all of a sudden this big truck comes and hits him.
And we don't wish him any harm. We just want him to wise up, grow up, and stop being a little Napoleon. I mean, what is his problem?
Well, yeah. Have you been following the GoFundMe?
Well, tell me about that, because as I understand it, okay. It was on, it wasn't on. What's the latest? What's going on with
well,
that?
Well,
tell me the story.
Of course, the media would tell you the real truth, right? So they are at $9.6 million.
Oh, wonderful.
And yes, and so, you know, there was rumors that GoFundMe froze the funds. GoFundMe did not freeze the funds. What happened was that... And this is coming from the, I saw also a live interview that the two organizers did. Mm-hmm. What it was is GoFundMe needs to, because there was so much money,
right,
that it wasn't about freezing it. It was just about how it was going to get allocated. They've got lawyers in place. They've got accountants in place. So everything just needed to be done properly, but the money was released. And one of
so
the
it was
things
administered, it wasn't frozen, which is a huge difference.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the media wants to tell you different, right?
Well, what's with the media?
What's
with the media
well,
in Canada? I mean, you've got the CBC. What are major Canadian media? What are you all listening to?
We've got the same BS that you guys have. They're all funded by Trudeau, and so they did. And I can send you that interview as well, which was the organizers.
Please.
They did a live interview. It was the mm-hmm. first time that, that was a couple of days ago, and they would not allow CP24 CTV. They wouldn't allow them in there, Global News, because they're just going to tell nothing but lies, right?
Okay.
So anyways, they basically said they're overwhelmed with the amount of support. And they said, well, with this kind of money, we could probably stay till 2023, 2024.
See, that was my other question. This is a permanent stand. They're there until the laws change. They actually want to really, they want to do something. So they're, if they've got $9
million.
They're
not leaving. They're not leaving.
This is fascinating. This is what's capturing. I mean, Australia's got a truck event plan. I think they're working on one here. I got some stats I've been pulling together from many sources, including Canada Free Press, where the editor, Judy McLeod, I've been in contact with because I wrote for them for about 3 years. And so from what I've heard, there's 53,000 trucks have come from all over Canada. That's huge.
And I think there was over 10,000 from the U.S. that came.
Yeah, I heard 19,000 from California or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
no kidding, right?
Yeah. Well, let's play with this. I want to play with some numbers for a second here because I've been looking at the population of Canada. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. You had a point you wanted to make? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just one more thing about the GoFundMe.
Yeah, no,
someone yesterday or the day before made a donation of $42,069, and they put a www.liar.com attached to it. And when you go to that, it takes you to Justin Trudeau's Wikipedia. Someone said that the person, the one that owns this liar.com is Elon Musk. So I don't know how true that is.
Well, you can check it out and let me know. You know, feel free. Look at that journalist in you to take a look. Now, Elon Musk is all for the truckers. You know, he's had it with California. He's moving from California to Arizona. Of course, he's going to Austin, so you might as well be in California, you know, being in Austin, Texas. Sorry, Texas. It's true.
Right.
But he's leaving. In fact, I left California. I was lucky. I got out 5 years ago because I was fortunate enough to get a job, my first radio job here at WEBY, which unfortunately no longer exists. It was sold. But for a year and 4 months, you know, I had my dream job. It was great. Now I've got my real dream job. You know, at Blog Talk, where I get to broadcast worldwide, and it's fascinating what's going on here. We've had 70 countries check in, you know, at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got there's a lot of folks. We just need a lot more of them. Anyway, so looking at the numbers here, 53,000 trucks from Canada. Okay, you get a population of 38 million. So let's take 1% of that. That's 38,000. So if you got 53,000 trucks, figure one driver, you know, you're looking at 1.5% of the entire Canadian population, and that's just the truck drivers. This is how big this is. I don't think people realize what a scale this is. So, and I was doing some rough. So how many people do you figure are in Ottawa right now? 500,000?
So my
quarter million? What's going on? What do they say?
On the weekend, there was about 1.4 million people.
That's huge. Now, out of 30, let me just some quick calculator. Where's my calculator here? Let me get my calculator here. So you say 1.4? So let's divide 1.4 divided by 38 equals. And times 100, my math sucks. So if anybody can do it better, please let me know. That's 3.6% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Try to imagine that in the United States. Yeah, so in the United States, we have 3.6% of our 38 million, of our 330 million. So 1% would be 3.3 million. So 3% of that would be 9.9 million people, 10 million people. So the equivalent of what's going on in Ottawa would be 10 million people in the United States. In D.C., 10 million. That's like five cities, you know, just to put this in perspective. Okay, so the scale is massive. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
it is massive. And so, you know, I mean, Trudeau's hiding.
That Monty Python skit? Remember the Monty Python skit? Bravely ran away. I didn't run away. Yes, you did. There's your coconuts. Oh. No, they're not. It's a horse. You know. But, bravely ran away. So tell me about little Justin. This is what I'm calling him now. So little Justin's hiding in his cabin. Where is his cabin? Is he doing, like, YouTubes, or what's he doing?
What is it? Lake Elling? I think someone said it's B.C.,
he's already at the West Coast. Sorry. No, I had to hear Harrington, Lake Harrington.
Oh, Lake Harrington. You know,
I wrote it down somewhere. So, I'm looking at my notes.
Well, one of the organizers said he knows exactly where he is. But, you know, yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Now, how about Parliament, though? Is Parliament meeting? Do they have plans to meet? Are they all considering this, you know, your insurrection trying to overthrow the government? You're probably going to get labeled. I know the racist Nazi labels are out, which is kind of funny because Nazis are leftists. You know, so is the Canadian government. So the idea of the Canadian government or our Democrat Marxists and deep state Republicans calling anybody a Nazi is hysterical because they're labeling themselves, you know, as an oppressive totalitarian government, which is what leftists are. So leftists calling other people Nazis is like leftists calling other people leftists. It's really kind of funny. But
right.
How about Parliament? Any plans for them to meet? Are they going to consider any new laws? And then I'll tell you my next question. Does Parliament have any scheduled meetings? Are they reacting to this? Have they all run away too? Are they sitting in the French Riviera? What's going on? Where's Parliament?
Well, I saw something somewhere and it said, you know, people go home, like we've got to get back to business. And for example,
business as usual, you mean? If they go home, it's going to be business as usual.
So for example, yeah, like apparently it's costing them $800,000 a day just for like police support. And, you know, so that's got to be big.
Are they joining?
Because they have
police. Are the police joining the protesters?
Yeah,
that's
a great.
Go ahead.
You know what? That's the great thing is they have a lot of support from the police. And I don't know if you know who Pat King is, but Pat King is one of the guys that he is he's one of the convoy guys at the who's put this together. He was also he made it on. He went to court a while back to try and prove and to say that, you know, that this virus was never isolated, but they kind of threw him out of the court.
Yeah, I don't know about
that.
I've heard that before, too. That's not a big priority. The real problem is not the virus, it's the government response to it. And so you don't have to prove I think that's not a productive road to go down.
No. So last night I watched him because he does a lives all the time, and he basically said thank you to all the police from London, Toronto, Quebec, who were actually bringing food to the truckers.
Excellent.
So they're supporting them, and anybody that any of my friends that were there on the weekend. It was like they said it was like a Woodstock, better than and bigger than a Woodstock. And they said there was nothing but love. They were dancing in – they have created like stands where they have DJs. They're playing music. They were dancing at midnight to like 80s dance music. Like, and my friend was there, and she said she was like a couple of blocks away. She said, listen, she called me, and I could hear the truckers at midnight. She says they just, like, put it's like putting the pedal to the metal. Like, they're not letting go of those honks. And she's like, you could just hear. She goes, and then at midnight they shut down. She goes, and I woke up around 7 a.m. She goes, it was dead silent. She goes, as soon as 8 o'clock hit, it was like,
time to get up. Day two, day three, let's go. So,
yep,
and this is
exactly
what I don't think they anticipated, that not only was this a protest to show up, and I've seen the videos, I've seen drones, I post a bunch of stuff on my Facebook page. They have literally blocked and shut down Ottawa. There are trucks three deep on every street that I saw, and they're bumper to bumper. Nothing is moving.
Yes.
So they can't go anywhere anyway. You know, so this is fabulous. And the drones have got great footage, and, you know, everybody else is out there. But the idea you guys are partying at what's the temperature there? Like, it's got to be below zero. Celsius is like,
it's,
I think I heard,
minus,
22 below.
Minus 20. So we're Celsius, correct? So it's minus
four. Yeah, so it's about minus 5
minus
to 10
four.
Fahrenheit. So, because our zero is zero. Your zero is 32 degrees. So, yeah, it's freaking cold. It's bone-chilling cold.
Actually, and, I mean – minus 30 did not match any, what? Yeah, I don't, minus 30. So, and that's, I mean, minus four, that's like during the day, at night.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, my friend said it was really, it doesn't even want to tell you what it is.
Well, here's the thing, too. Those trucks, you know, unless they have some kind of oil preheat, they're not going anywhere anyway. Once they shut down those engines, you know, they're sitting out there on the street. They're that's a parking lot, okay? Because the oil is already frozen in those engines.
Yeah. So minus 22 is basically it's been.
Yeah. That's about 5 to 10 below zero Fahrenheit. Yeah.
You know, and some of the truckers are sleeping in their trucks. And Pat was saying how, you know, they'll start their truck every so often just to get it warm, right?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing, too. You're going to need a few things. They're going to need diesel fuel. So you're going to have some way to get diesel fuel in there. They're going to have food and water and porta potties. And if you have that, you know, diesel fuel to heat the truck so people can stay warm. Cars are going to need some kind of gasoline but you don't want to sit in your cars or trucks. Well, trucks are better at it because the engines are more separate, but cars, you know, just running car engines to stay warm, that's not good. So if people have some kind of, you know, extra blankets and whatever they need. I imagine the hotels are kind of full right now. The Airbnbs, are they full too?
Yeah.
Okay. So people have found places to go because people find ways. If this is a long-term occupation, the best thing that's going to happen to this is springtime. So the sooner it warms up, the better. They just happen to, you know, February, you got at least February and March, you got 2 months of pretty brutal cold. But by end of March, beginning of April, it's going to be a lot easier if they're there. Now, I guess Shelby in the line too. She's been listening for a little bit, so I'm going to bring her here in a second as well. But do you know? And you may or may not the parliamentary calendar. So in other words, is this when they would be in session anyway? Are they still on a New Year's break? You know, have they suspended Parliament?
No, I think because there was someone doing interviews in front of Parliament, and they were coming in and out, and they were in meetings. So. Mm-hmm. Like Pierre Poilievre is there, and Pierre, because you've reached out. But,
I messaged him already. Yeah, I haven't heard back yet. But if you know him personally,
so
or if Pierre, you know people that know him, but tell me about him.
He's been posting pictures with all the people at the convoy. He supports them. Many politicians support them.
Okay.
You know.
Good. Yeah. Well, here's
it's just the one. Go ahead.
Well. I was going to say, before I bring on Shelby, what I want to do ultimately, because this is Action Radio, we are the only radio show in the world that does what we do. In other words, writing citizen legislation at our website, writeyourlaws.com. That's WRITEYOURLAWS. If you can connect me to any of the leaders of this, and then we can look into Canadian law. If they want change, the most effective way, I believe, to do that is that the truckers write it themselves and the people in Ottawa write it themselves. In other words, we find out where in Canadian law and in the Canadian Constitution, where are the problems? What gives the government the authority to issue mandates? Which laws are they going by? And we basically change and amend those laws. Now, I've done the same thing here. I've written bills that get rid of big tech censorship. I've got a bill that puts full product liability on vaccine manufacturers. I wrote a bill with Dr. Zelenko, who is the one that worked with President Trump, and got him hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, I love
you know,
Glenn.
And so he's great. He's amazing. He's become a friend of mine ever since being on the show. And I just fortunately contacted and knew him and knew me, and that's how we got him on. Dr. Judy Mikovits has been on the show, and I'm trying to get Dr. Malone and McCullough and a couple of other folks. But point being that the best legislation is not going to come from Parliament because you're asking government to give up government power. That never works. So if the truckers actually have a bill in their hands saying these are the laws we want changed, this is the language they want, and we work together in actually writing that, this would be historic. This would be unprecedented. And this would be the model for Australia where they're having a trucker rally is going on. And in the United States, you know, it's time to go back to Washington, all right? You know, and so there's a lot of things. This could be groundbreaking. This is my goal and my dream. And it just so happens, like I say, I've timed everything in my life badly except this. This is the one time I got it right. You know, we've got the technology. We've got the social media. We've got the internet. I'm broadcasting from my desk at home in my cottage here, you know, and so I'm reaching you in Canada and worldwide. And if the truckers are listening, that'd be even better. But if you know anybody or can get someone or can contact people, let's get them on the show next week. Let's work on it this week. And let's look at Canadian law. And if they're going to be there for a while, we don't have to rush. We can actually take our time doing this. Let's actually write the laws that give Canada back the freedom that Canadians deserve. That is your birthright. But let's enshrine it in law and say this, you know, if you go to Parliament and say, these are the laws we want passed, it's a hell of a lot stronger than saying, will you remove your power, please? Because they're not going to. I think it's a total reversal. You become the source of the laws, not the complainer requesting the laws. That's the difference. That's what Action Radio and our citizen legislature can bring to the fight in Canada. That's what I want to work with you on.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited?
Sounds good.
What do you think? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's bring on Shelby.
Anything. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Shelby, welcome back to the show, and thank you so much for introducing me to Laura. We're already planning the next revolution in Canada, so I just want to let you know we need your help too. So any truckers you know or contacts in the Freedom Rally, please feel free. Good morning, Shelby.
Good morning, Greg. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi, Shelby. I'm good. How are you?
Great. I'm great. Thank you so much for sharing so much of what you know, and it's great to get the word out to a lot of different sources, and I know it's something you're really passionate about, and gosh, I feel like it's been a long time coming. You guys have been really muted, really, for the most part, so it's great that it's really coming to fruition. I do have some questions, though. Can I ask some questions,
of course,
too?
Yeah, no, I'll just sit back here and let you guys talk. Yeah, go ahead, Shelby. Feel free.
Okay. So, Laura, I know you have your finger on the pulse, and I'm so curious. Has Justin Trudeau even made a statement? Is he hiding? Like, I mean, is
he
is going on?
He came out yesterday.
Really?
Yes, out of his cottage, and he's disgusted in us.
Oh, that's the message?
That was
like,
kind
I guess
of the
you
message.
Say ditto.
You know, basically, he's saying that one of the things he said was how disgusted he is and American or Canadians are, and, you know, that, you know, they're stealing food from the homeless and defacing statues. And you know, get out of here, Trudeau. Go back into your little hole.
So that's interesting. So he's come out and actually publicly made a statement that's in defiance or you know, in opposition of what the people in the Capitol are asking for. Okay, so that's interesting. My next question is about, I think the most press that I've seen on it is the swastikas and the white supremacists, which it's my understanding that most of the time people like that are sort of planted there to kind of distract from the actual reason to protest. So what's going on with that?
So it's the same thing as American news. If you turn on the Canadian news, you're going to get nothing but lies. I have friends that were there all weekend. There's been many posts. There's also been the two people that started the convoy who did finally a live talk. And they're calling it, it's like being in Woodstock except bigger. And there's been nothing but love, nothing but support, nothing but people happy, dancing. For the first time in 2 years, people are smiling, strangers hugging strangers. Now, there are those people. There was one guy that they showed I saw it on social media, wearing a full mask and I can't remember what flag he had. I think Tucker talked about it. And they, because they know.
That was a Confederate flag. I saw the report. Right. Just to jump in here real quickly. It was a Confederate flag, and people treated him the same way they treated Ray Epps, as a government provocateur designed to make the rally look bad, designed to make y'all look bad. You know, Ray Epps was one of the people that encouraged people to go into the Capitol building in Washington, and we all think he's working for the government and the FBI doing that. So, yeah, it was a Confederate flag, and, of course, the leftist symbol of racism, so that's why they used that flag. Okay, yeah, back
right.
to you.
Right. So they approached him, and he knew he had to get out of there, and he had to leave. So, you know, there are going to be some people that are going, not many, apparently. My understanding is that there's a few of them there that would try and cause problems and make it look bad, just like what they said that they defaced, what's his name? They defaced...
Terry Fox.
Terry Fox. And that's not true. They put a flag on Terry Fox, and they put a piece of paper that says remove the mandates. But yet, you know, when they took down, you know, the indigenous, you know, statues or, you know, like, give me a break. We don't listen to the news here.
So that's just, it's just so sad. I feel like I honestly don't, you know, Greg and I do not have a lot of the same viewpoints completely.
Sure we do.
But a lot of people do agree too. But I think one of the things that I keep telling him is that my network is pretty vast. And I think most people really do not realize that the news is not just not reporting the truth. It's also trying to change the truth often. And I don't think that is a normal assumption for most Americans. I know it's a normal assumption for people that listen to Action Radio and to other, you know, off-brand, not high-end media, master media. but it's just unfortunate to me because I really don't think people realize. I really don't. I don't think most people understand how deep the twists and turns and lies go on mainstream media, and that's really very unfortunate.
Well,
they're working very hard.
One guy made a post, and he basically was speaking directly to the media, and he said to the media, we're going to tell you this. If you don't start to start showing the truth and start speaking the truth, he said, you guys are public companies. We will crash your public companies to the ground. So basically, you get enough pissed off Canadians and anybody that has stocks in these places, he's basically saying, you're going to be crashed down. You're going to lose your house. So, and then that evening, which was, I believe, Saturday, is when I saw CTV start talking about it. Because first of all, they have no choice. I mean, it's so big, like it's everywhere. How could you not talk about it? But then, you know, they're twisting lies, right? So I think that'll all change. I think as time goes by, but I think it's over. I think for the first time in 2 years, Canadians feel hopeful. And as you know, we've had it pretty bad here. And I mean, I don't know if you've heard about Quebec. Quebec, if you're not double vaccinated, you cannot go and get groceries. You go into Walmart or Costco, and an employee will follow you around to make sure that all you're getting is groceries and your medication. That's it. You can't buy anything else.
The rules, I can't even, like, conceptually understand how it could get to this point anyway. We've been very, very blessed in Florida, but still I feel very locked down and regimented in general. I just feel the whole thing has been understandable in the beginning to, like, be careful and to not overload the hospitals and everything. I really agreed with that. But, you know, now that what we've seen in 2 years...
The hospitals have been overloaded. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
The hospitals have been overloaded by the vaccinated, and we have to be very clear on that, because I was telling Greg, I don't know if you've listened to the conversation that we had, that before Christmas, there was all these parties, and my friends and I are not vaccinated, and we were at the same parties. They all got COVID except for my friend and I.
Wow.
So, you know, they can say that it's the unvaccinated that are, you know, making a mess in the hospitals, and that is not true. And it's also been said, I believe, by the CDC that really the ones going in the hospitals are the ones that have, you know, at least four, like they have four morbidities or more or whatever, you know. But, I mean, this is a common cold. I've known this for 2 years. I've been at this for 2 years. I've been fighting with people 2 years. And I was just saying to Greg, I'm tired.
Yeah,
I'm just burnout.
You know? I always feel like at that point, though, this is when it gets to the point where it's the common cold. I'm like, well, I don't know. My people have died, like, with blood clots and all kinds of weird diseases that never would have died. So I don't think it's, like, the common cold.
But you said everyone's been exposed now. But you just said clots. Where did the clots come from? They come from vaccines.
No, people had that have had heart issues and clots that don't have vaccines as well. I mean, my son, for example, before vaccines even came out, he got COVID, and he was never properly diagnosed with myocarditis, but I'm positive that that's part of the problem. He passed out, doing nothing.
That's the vaccine. Shelby, that's the vaccine.
So,
it's really clear that the blood clots.
It was before vaccines even came out.
Oh, that's
the
next particular case with him then.
It was definitely COVID.
Well, I wonder if COVID doesn't cause that, but it's a lung infection primarily. So the idea that you have heart-lung is connected. I mean, this is, obviously everything's connected. But the vaccines are particularly known for causing blood clots, strokes, myocarditis in young folks, and so much at a much greater rate than COVID ever could hope to do it. So the fact that your son got sick with these things is horrible. It's a tragedy, but there's a lot more people getting these same things from the actual vaccines themselves.
Not going to argue that point because I don't, we don't have the stats. Definitely, don't seem to be honest on any of that.
I've got the people in the studies that have demonstrated. I got the quotes from people on the show. But I don't want to argue with that now. But I'd like to. Do you have more questions for Laura? Because I want to kind of transition a little bit to our to your report and talk travel for a little bit.
What is the expectation of time frames like for the Canadian truckers to stick around and dig their heels in?
Well,
and then the last question is, are they going to get the GoFundMe that everyone raised, or are they holding that to freeze it still?
So, first of all, the GoFundMe was never frozen. That was never held hostage. It was just being held until they knew how to distribute the money. Because there was so much money, they had to, they have lawyers involved and accountants and stuff. The truckers are not leaving, and they've made that extremely clear to the government. They're not leaving. They joked, actually, and said yesterday or the day before in an interview, and they said, we've got enough money now. We can stay here till 2023, 2024 if we have to. They're not.
That's an election, isn't it? That's through an election,
they're not,
isn't it? One of your major elections?
Yes. Well,
the
election's
coming
up, yes. And so
they're
not leaving until Trudeau resigns or he removes all mandates. They're not going anywhere. They've made it very clear. And
I don't know how
they think they're going to get rid of 53,000 truckers. I mean, the GoFundMe is now at almost $10 million.
Wow.
And, yes, they're at $9.6 million. So
I love it. I love it.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break for a second.
Go
ahead, Shelby. You have a last comment, and I want to kind of play a couple things, and then I'll bring
you,
it
Laura,
back in.
For coming. Yeah. Thank you, Laura, for coming on, and thank you, Greg.
My pleasure.
For hosting such a really hands on the ground, boots on the ground type of show, and it's just so great to hear from someone who's actually spoken to people that are there. And I definitely agree. It's enough is enough, and Canada's been through enough, and we need to move forward from this. That's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, I've already asked Laura to be a regular on the show,
so
we're way ahead of it here. I'm sorry, Laura. Go ahead.
And if either one of you want to adopt me to move to the U.S., I'm in.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I already told you the best way in.
Okay, well, find me a husband.
All right.
Anyway, well, listen, thank you so much, Greg. Shelby, it was nice connecting with you again.
You
I'm
too.
Sure
you
we'll
stick around
again.
If you want. You can stick around for the show if you want, or if you have to go, I understand. But,
I do. Okay. I can put it on and listen as I do some things, but I've got to get ready for the office. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you
having
me. Bye-bye,
Laura.
Bye-bye. Take care.
All right, Laura. We'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to you about next week. All right.
Okay.
Thanks very
sounds
much.
Good. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. Laura Abalese from Toronto, my hometown, my birthplace, and her birthplace too. And so, yeah, Shelby, we just had the best time. We had such a fabulous chat here. And so feel free to go over it and share, of course, this show. And I'm hoping to get a whole bunch more folks in Canada and have a regular report on whatever's on Laura's mind of what's going on up there. But what we talked about just before you came on is the fact that I want to work with the truckers. And we want to go into Canadian law and show them what I know about writing citizen legislation and actually find the actual laws that empower Canada, you know, or the government to do this. And they might not even be doing it legally. I don't know. But we want to check where they think they get their mandate of authority from and look into that. So I'm going to play a couple things here, meet you for just a little bit, and we'll be back with your travel report. And away we go. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive, and this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's Page One. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can increase foot and website traffic. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com, besmallbusiness. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it. Yeah, man. Come with Shelby to faraway places, wonderful beaches, exotic foods, meet new and fascinating people as Action Radio cruise and travel reporter Shelby Frenette takes you to where dreams become your reality and experiences become your best memories. Yeah, man. Here we go. So my dream someday is that someday soon, actually, the truckers in Canada, in Ottawa, will actually be listening to Action Radio, and they'll hear your tropical theme and go, the freezing cold of Ottawa going, yeah, I kind of wish I was in Jamaica right now. Yeah, it should be fun.
Oh, my.
So thank you.
I know.
Thank
honestly,
you.
I am so shocked that they can handle all that cold weather and stay there. They are amazing people, very strong people.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was a kid in Canada, I didn't know any better. I mean, if you remember the movie, The Christmas Story with Peter Billingsley, you know, I wore those ridiculous snowsuits and those boots, and I had a toque, which is a combination hat and scarf, and it, of course, always freezes your face, you know, and it was horrible. You know, I never liked winter, but to me, I didn't know anything different because, you know, I'm 5 years old, right? Walking to school a mile in freezing cold weather, you know, 20 below zero, we thought that was just normal. I mean, I was really glad for spring, summer, and fall, but winter, I hated winter. I mean, really hated winter. And then when my folks took me to Australia, it was like, whoa, no more snow. this is kind of cool. There are places in the world without snow. I like this. Yeah, I don't miss it. You know, so, but you get used to it. And I think like anything else, I mean, why do people live in Minnesota and Michigan and Maine and, you know, some of these really Wyoming and North Dakota and these really cold places with these horrible winters that you and I would never want to be any part of. They get used to it. They're conditioned to it. So, you know, if you've lived in Canada your whole life and you're not a snowbird, this is just a normal winter for them. To us, it's torture, you know, but that's the difference, I think.
Yeah, I've lived in Canada too. I'm like you. I've never liked the winter. I was from Massachusetts, and yeah. I detested being cold, and I also didn't like the fashion that had to go along with it because you had to lose all of your – I was, like, dressing cute, and it was very difficult to keep a cute fashion.
Yeah, you can't be cute in a snowsuit.
And try to, like, get all – be warm. So it really wasn't good for me, but – boy, I don't miss it either. I'm with you on that. Oh, gosh. I do applaud them, though, for their tenacity. And, boy, they're all giving up a lot, too, by camping out there. And I think it's important, and I think it's incredibly sad that it's been covered the way it's been covered. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how it transpires. So go Canada. Go Canada.
Well, if you look at some of the sites, I've got stuff all over my page that you might want to look at. There's Rumble videos. There's BitChute. There's different sources here covering it. Canada Free Press is covering it. A lot of American, you know, conservative media sources are covering it. And you've got drone reports. You've got personal videos. You've got, Rebel News is covering it. I don't know if they're Canadian-based, but I know they've got some videos that I have on my page. And so there's a lot of sources. And Canadians, like everybody else, we're going to different media. The media is divided up into, it's like government media, which would be, you know, here in the United States, National Public Radio is official government media because they're taxpayer funded. But you've got the corporate government media, you know, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, the major, you know, corporate media, big tech, social media control. And then you've got other folks like One American News, you know, Newsmax, to some extent Fox, and a lot of conservative, you know, websites that are providing news. People are just going to alternate sources. You know, when I was a kid and we were a kid, you know, there was the three sources, you know, here, NBC, ABC, CBS. And in Canada, it was, I think, the CBC, you know, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. I don't know if there was another network. It's like the BBC in England. I can't think. Do you know, is there like a private network or is there another government media like the CBC up in Canada?
No, I don't know for sure. Sure at all. But it is great that people are looking other places. I kind of come to the conclusion if someone I spoke to doesn't know about Dr. Malone or Rumble, then they've only got one side of the story, and it's not a balanced session. But these news outlets and outlets in general have been gaining popularity, which I think is great. But I still think there's a long way to go. For example, Spotify and Joe Rogan.
What do you think of that? I'm curious.
Well, I think it's really ridiculous how, you know, you've got these no-name old timers trying to, I think, capitalize on this as a – I don't think they're doing it for the good of the people. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think it's purely for attention for them. But regardless, I think it's bizarre that we're still having this conversation because freedom of speech, and it's ironic that one of the guys, I don't even want to say his name, but his, because I don't want to give him any extra energy, but he's saying like a free, we're free and living in a free world, rocking a free world. And irony is just so absurd, and the fact that they're coming down so hard on Joe Rogan for interviewing people and the social sentiment actually on Facebook anyway has been changing to be towards Joe Rogan. Like, why do they trust him? And it's like, well, because he doesn't have an agenda, first of all, and he's interviewing doctors, so it does make sense to listen, since that's not what mainstream media is doing. And it's very frustrating to watch people be so complacent and get on a bandwagon with some nobody that is like, oh, I'm gonna take my music off. And it's someone else that really bothered me, that she kind of got on this bandwagon, which I think she's just ignorant, which just makes me sad that she's at this level of the game and she's literally this ignorant about what the hell's going on, is Brene Brown. And I'll give her some props because she really does some great work with shame.
Who's she?
She's an author and she's a psychoanalyst of some sort. But she's got she works a lot with shame, and which is a really weird subject to get into, you know, and but she's very good. But, you know, I feel like it's exactly who I'm speaking to, where most people don't even know that there's another option to listen to people that are on the boots on the ground, for instance, you know, people listening to actually the truckers there rather than highlighting the two people that are peeing on a flag, which is, or and they say defacing a monument when as I'm going to believe Laura, since she's a longtime pal of mine, I know her well, and she speaks the truth. And she said that they had put a piece of paper, a note, and a flag on him. I mean, this is ridiculous. To call that defacing is just, it's such a stretch. And I think people would be outraged to know what mainstream media has done to news, and if they knew, but they don't. And it's so clear when you have someone like Brené Brown that doesn't know either, you know, and she's taken her stuff off Spotify in order to support the censorship, really, to support censorship. And, you know, and I've listened to Joe Rogan several times just to get a balanced understanding, which everyone should listen to the opposing side in order to make their own decision. And you can't argue the fact that he was bullied by the CDC. He was bullied by the FDA. And I was disgusted that the FDA came out with that tweet saying, y'all, you're not a horse. Just stop. And for number one, I can't believe that we have governmental agencies tweeting sarcastic, stupid remarks that
they're in the vaccine business.
Even close.
They're making money off it.
Yeah, but
they're scientists, doctors, researchers, they're all making money off it.
Right, but most people don't think that. They really do believe the FDA is there to save us. Now, I really do understand the idiosyncrasies of the FDA because I've been working with nutrition and health for so long, and I saw very early on there are some serious inconsistencies with their motives. That they allow, it's just such a bad game with them. And I think initially, like most things, it was done in order to keep us safe, and it had a good intention. In fact, for a long time, I can't remember the woman's name, but there was a woman in charge of the FDA. She's an old timer, back before women were really respected or even in the workforce. But she was like, she kind of had an iron fist on the FDA, and she was the one you had to convince to get something approved. And she was just no way, you know, she was really holding strong to the ethics of what the FDA was put together for, which was protection, because there are a lot of chemicals and cheap things that can hurt us that people would
well,
add.
Big Pharma funds the FDA. I mean, all those drug trials and things they do,
now,
most of the FDA's budget comes from Pfizer, you know, all these other different companies. I think it has for a long time.
Yeah, the worst, well, this is, I'm talking back in the day, like, and I don't want to say a year because I really haven't looked at it enough, but it's before.
It's an interesting study for us, yeah. No, it's a good point.
Yeah, but anyway, she was always being coerced, trying to be bought off. And then, of course, when she died, I believe it was the Rockefellers that really kind of changed everything in the pharmaceutical agencies. And they stopped getting off any natural plants and any natural anything as healers, and started to go on the chemical route. And they, you know, made it harder and harder for people to get natural remedies that were helpful to the body. Anyway, it's the FDA has a long sordid history, and not to mention Monsanto and them like flip flop with their executives, which is disgusting. Anyway, I don't feel like people understand that whole idea yet. They still think, I'm certainly in close relationships with people that think the FDA is a wonderful thing, and that's saddens me. But anyway, you wanted to talk about travel and.
I got a question for you. It's a little different. You know, I was thinking because we've been talking. One thing we haven't talked about are our cold weather tours. We've never talked about, because both of us hate cold weather, so it wouldn't be something to come up. But since we're talking about Canada, have you ever led, or do you know of good places where people can go on like alpine ski, you know, trips to either like Vail or Aspen, Colorado, or was it Whistler up in Canada? I don't know if you ski there or just look at it, or the Swiss Alps. Are there, you know, ski tours? Winter tours, winter wonderland tours, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, surprising you with this right now. I know you haven't prepared anything, but maybe we can do that next week or something. But what do people do for winter tours? We've never really talked about that.
Yeah, basically, winter tours are usually a good idea. I don't know that I recommend it this year because Colorado specifically has had some crazy mandates. In fact, that we have neighbors that have a house in Colorado and they're selling because the mandates are so incredibly enforced. They have to have full gear on to cross the street to go to stores. I mean, it's just been
kind of like Ottawa,
really,
right now.
Yeah. So I really don't. Most of the time, ski trips. I also really recommend Club Med. We do a lot of Club Med stuff that we love. They do a great job, and they're all over the place in France. You know, you can go to the Swiss Alps, Colorado, Canada. I don't generally recommend skiing in the Northeast because it's pretty icy.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather can be a little dicey. You just can't count on fluffy snow. So I generally try to recommend things on the West Coast or even in Europe for ski bunny trips. And I always try to remind my guests that the best time, if you want the best deals, it's not Christmas. That's the most expensive time of the year, Christmas, New Year's. Mm-hmm. That last week in December is the most expensive time of the year and also the fullest. So you'll probably have a less specialized experience and a little bit more frustration. So I don't really advocate traveling at Christmas or New Year's time. However, the weeks before Christmas and after Thanksgiving are notoriously the cheapest for flights, for lodging, for hotels, for trips. So if you're going to do a winter wonderland vacation, it's a nice time to get out there and you really get a good bang for your buck.
I wrote something down here too. The Olympics. I don't know if you've looked into travel to the Olympics, but that starts, I think, next week. We haven't talked about that really either. You know, trips to China. What's are there restrictions in China? I know there's zero COVID tolerance, so they're locking down entire villages and towns, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. But do you have any?
There's no way I'm promoting anyone going to China this year. No way.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But
I have no idea how it's going to turn out. But I would not feel comfortable recommending any of my guests going to China.
Okay.
There's too much flux right now, and you just don't know what you're going to end up with or being stuck there. I would say, you know, it's the most volatile time that I've ever known for traveling to Asia. So we haven't done much except for Europe, but Europe seems to be loosening restrictions, and the interesting
Gave up all their restrictions. That's huge. They've joined Sweden. So this is encouraging. From my point of view, this is encouraging. Yeah.
I don't think it has to do with Sweden. I think it has to do with Boris Johnson, the prime minister there. But
okay.
He's getting...
Who had COVID. It almost killed him, if you remember, you know, earlier on in 2020.
I did not know that, but I'm not shocked. I mean, he looks like he's very unhealthy.
okay. In general lifestyle, or I mean, what do you, because you're a health person, this is your expertise. If you look at him, you can look at people and tell deficiencies
he's
or.
So swollen. He's swollen. He's got definite inflammation. I mean, he's constantly disheveled. You know, he's just a constant disheveled mess, but he's just very swollen. And inflammation is a big indicator of bad health. And, you know, I don't want to dive into his lifestyle, but from his exterior appearance, it certainly appears that he's been abusive.
We can speculate. We speculate all the time. We just make it clear that we're speculating. We're not, you know, if we know something, we say we know it. If we don't know, we say we don't know, but we're taking an educated guess. Is this an indication of excess alcohol, prescription drugs, bad nutrition, stress, lack of exercise, all of the above? What
would
this come in there for?
All of the above, generally. I think it's always a mixture, but I just don't know. I don't have any idea. All I know is that from his exterior appearance, he certainly looks inflamed, and inflammation is a huge indicator of bad health. And it's also something that leads to many, many, many cardiovascular issues.
Heart attack precursor, if I remember. Yeah. Which is interesting because I had heart issues and had no outward signs whatsoever. In fact, the doctors were kind of shocked. He's like, "Whoa, I can't believe this is going." You know, when I had, you know, one of my valves wasn't working, only half my blood was actually being pumped; the other half was going backwards, and nobody knew it. And I was working as a full-time tour guide. You know, if you know Fort Point in San Francisco, it's this huge 1800s fort with big granite stairs. And I was running up and down, you know, three or four flights of stairs, and with only half my blood going, you know, and who knew? You know, so you can be healthy and still have huge problems, or you can be unhealthy and it can really show. So health is weird. There's so many different facets to it. Anyway, you were going to say something.
Yeah. I was just going to say IATA, which is one of the huge travel conglomerates that we utilize in the travel industry for certifications, and it's airlines and hotels. They have kind of put some pressure on urging the EU government to lift the travel restrictions, but only for the vaccinated / recovered individuals holding a valid COVID certificate. So as much as it's great that they're promoting, you know, let's lift these restrictions, they're doing it only, they're promoting just for the vaccinated.
Well, that's still a restriction then. So it's a limited travel. Yeah.
Not if you assume everyone's vaccinated, I guess. And I know Bill Gates, he, you know, a couple months back, he was mentioning that, you know, the way to go is just to vaccinate once a year. So I always feel like if Bill Gates said something,
well,
generally
he's heavily... He is so heavily invested. In fact, he made there's a quote from him, I think, about, you know, 5-10 years ago when he got into the vaccine biz, that he says, you know, the best bang for your buck, you know, 20 times return on your investment is in vaccines. So it's in his best interest. It's like, you know, shampoo, rinse, you know, wash, rinse, and repeat. Those two words, and repeat. And I don't know, you know, anybody that does that until you realize, well, yeah, once works just fine, you know. So the whole idea of and repeat is to sell stuff. They don't care. You know, you ever see the toothpaste ads? They fill up your entire toothbrush. You put that much toothpaste in your mouth, you're going to go, you know, frothing. You know, so all these things that they try and have you do, all these extras, you know, a booster once a year, you know, it's like, hey, have you had your yearly booster? No. You know, but that's the way to sell. They're selling the product because it boosts his investment. Big tech, big pharma, you know, big government, all these folks are so heavily invested. They either are pharmaceutical companies or they have patents, like Moderna patents are owned by, I think, CDC and NIH have the Moderna patents. So they're making as much money as the people at Moderna, you know, in their personal investments. You know, so it's all one big, happy, disgusting, incestuous, corporate, fascist government family.
Yeah.
Just got to put it out there.
It's definitely a concerted effort and long term, and I don't know. I think people are starting to get the idea. I know myself and a lot of my friends are feeling like, okay, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gotten so out of hand, and they don't make any sense anymore. And some, I don't know if the intentions. I happen to prescribe to the belief system that it's not a big coerced plan, but that people just often act in a selfish, slimy way at the top. They all want to just make money, and they really are in silos making these decisions. I don't think that all of these decisions are new world order as much as they are just selfish people that don't care, and it just kind of just ripples down.
Well, no, I think you're right, but I think there's different groups. There's a group that wants the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab and the Davos, you know, World Economic Forum group. They want a world reset of the UN wants their world government. They want to run the world from the UN, especially the United States. There are those like Dr. Fascist, who I believe run it just for the money and the power. The ability to coordinate governors across this country and keep the mandates going. There are those that love the power, governors like Widmer, and Schumer, when he was there, and the new Holcomb in New York, you know, and the Newsom out in California, they love the power. You know, the science has proven that masks don't work, vaccines don't work, and this is just me talking. You know, I know you can disagree, but I mean, there's enough evidence out there that this power is based on empty power. They're doing it just for the sake of power because they can't prove that any of this stuff, you know, has the effect that they say it does, yet they're mandating it anyway. So you've got world government, you've got power, you've got money, you've got corporate power, you've got big tech, you know, they're invested heavily in pharmaceuticals, their power over social media and search engines. You've got all these different groups with all their power and money. So you look at power and money, you know, are they doing it for the power, are they doing it for the money, or are they doing it for both? Any of these folks that are heavily involved in controlling the population, you know, over COVID. And you got parties like the Democrat Party are doing it for votes. You know, the whole mail fraud, the whole ballot harvesting, the whole purpose of that was to steal the election. So that was their interest in COVID. So you've got all these different groups competing and using COVID for their own purposes, whether it's marketing, investments, control, mandates, or stealing an election. And this is why it's a complex problem. That's why we talk about all these different facets of it. So, you know, you almost can't say it's one, but there's enough groups. But you look at each group and say, what's your interest? Money, power, or votes? Maybe let me add the third category. So it's either money, power, votes, or some combination of those three. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would have to agree with that. But it's so disgusting to see people really not care about the studies. Like when I'm listening to that Senator Ron Johnson, right?
Oh yeah, excellent hearing, all 5 hours. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Did you get the highlights? I've got the highlights on my page. So you only have to get they have 40 minutes of just the highlights of 5 hours if you want to get the shorter version. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, this type of thing and he comes out and he's like, I'm being censored all the time and we can't listen to this man. Like, are you kidding me? And it just breaks my heart to watch these people that are putting their whole lives on the line, their livelihoods on the line, to try and spread the truth and just try and make sure that the information is shared. And it's so distant, a little echo. It isn't being shared enough and it is being censored. And I watch this on social media daily. I mean, the fact that what they're doing now with Facebook groups, for instance, the truckers group, as we were talking about, I couldn't even get in because it was growing too fast, they said. It's just bizarre. Like, the amount of censoring that they're doing it's so endless, and people don't realize it. Why would they?
There's so many alternative sources. Censorship worked back in Nazi Germany because the Nazis controlled all the media. That's the first thing they did. Censorship works in China because the Chinese Communist Party controls all the media. They've shut down the internet. People don't have, I don't think, private access to the internet. It doesn't work here. Doesn't work in Canada, doesn't work in Europe or Australia or New Zealand or any of these places, where freedom's breaking out. Helsinki, Finland, I was watching, I have a contact in Israel who I'm hoping to get involved with this whole process of citizen legislation. Helsinki, Finland has a huge protest going on right now. So this is a worldwide thing. What Canada started, what's moving to Australia and Finland and a bunch of other countries in the world, this is huge. And we're getting around the censors. They can't censor. They can try. And actually, they look stupid for trying because there's so many other outlets of information now that when the government tries to censor the information or lie about it, it's so obvious because we have the other story. We got the truth from the people that are there. And most people I'd rather believe a trucker making a personal video. Here, well, we're having a great way north in Canada. We're having a good time driving to Ottawa. This is good. I'm going to believe that guy. this is the CBC with the Canadian story propaganda from, Ottawa, Canada. I'm not going to believe them. Nobody is. Josie's on the line. I'm going to get to her in a second. Shelby, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think the citizen legislation is a great development. And I think keep singing that song because I think that that's got legs and it's finally where the rubber meets the road. And I think it's giving people a chance to do something that is really outside of their normal comfort and, education and have given them a guide to sort of be able to do something like this on their own. So, right on.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And think about this. I was talking to Laura about this earlier. Think about if we can connect with Canadian truckers in Ottawa right now, and I can work with them on citizen legislation. We go into the Canadian Constitution. We go into whatever Bill of Rights Canada has. And I don't know. I have to study this. I got to learn it myself, right? So I'm going to learn Canadian history and founding documents as I do this. This is what makes it so much fun. But what if I can talk to them and say, well, what do you want to do? What language do you want? What are the words you want in the laws that would make you free? What are the mandates that you want to remove? How do you want to structure this? No one's ever asked people like this. No one's ever asked people these kind of questions before, where they actually are saying, well, I want this to go away. Okay, well, how? Let's work on it. You're in charge. You're going to help me write this bill, and you're going to be able to take this directly to Parliament because you happen to be parked outside, right now in Ottawa. Do you realize the power of this? Do you realize what we're talking about here? This is world-changing. This is changing activism forever if this works out. With the technology we have now, the ability of people to not only protest, but write the laws that they consent to be governed by while they're outside of Parliament in Canada, this is going to catch on all over the place. Right place, right time, Shelby. What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, let me play something real quick. I'm going to bring on Josie with the Latino Report. And of course, Josie, you're welcome to stay, for more of the show. I've got Santa Rosa Volunteers to play. The third hour is open, and I always have to leave open space because we always run over time.
This is Greg Penglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how.
Add one pack to a standard half-liter water bottle or a 16-ounce glass to create a full-power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strikeforce energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. That's WYL. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engines. She started off as a poor child in Nicaragua, living under communism. And now she is a prosperous small businesswoman with a great family, living the dream as an American citizen. Josie Cossey knows all about both worlds, communism and freedom. She knows where your dreams can come alive and where they can die very quickly. And so her report is as much from experience as knowledge, and her passion and crusade are very real. With connections all over Central and South America, Josie brings you the world south of the U.S. border from personal experience, living, not just reporting, what's happening. And now, the Latina Report with Josie Cossey. And just before we go, Shelby, if you want to give your closing contact information, then we'll get to Josie, because I know you probably was leaving
it. Go ahead and you can follow me, Solo Travel Expert and TravelFun.biz, and I'm Shelby. You're fabulous. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Shelby. Appreciate it. Josie.
Good morning.
So we have a lot to talk about. Go ahead. Good morning.
I know. Yeah, I don't have anything on the border at this time, but I do have a worldwide awakening. It's here. Canada, mm-hmm. Australia, USA, Europe. We really need to pray for these people. The demons are loose trying to, but they're probably going to try to arrest many of them worldwide. The criminals know that it's over. The game is over. The fraud about the vaccine, the mask, the test, the lockdown, all this is over. Their agenda is coming to an end. And a lot, and more doctors are coming forward. More people are speaking about, and it's over. It's over. So now their new agenda is going to be war with Russia or mm-hmm. North Korea or China, whatever they come up with. They're well organizing this whole thing.
No, so I absolutely agree with you. And I'm going to change my three phases of taking our country back. First one was from compliance to resistance. And that started probably about a year ago when people first started resisting the vaccine. And the second phase I had is vindication. The liars are being called out, which was a few months ago. Mm-hmm. The third phase, it was going to be the great election correction, but I don't think that's it. I think the real third phase of this is what's happening mm-hmm. right now. And the title of the show tomorrow is going to be Freedom is the Great Reset. Freedom really is the great reset. It's not the reset that Klaus Schwab, in Germany is talking about and in the Davos Economic Forum. The great reset really is freedom. What's happening in Canada? Think about that. I was talking to, first of all, I don't know if you heard our first hour with Laura, Laura Avalese.
No, I did not.
Oh, you got to listen to the podcast. She was amazing. She's going to be a regular on the show. And so, at least I hope so. I haven't asked her officially yet, but I sort of broadcast it. I want you live on the show every week. So we have Canada calling in. So we went from Canada, with Laura up in Canada for calling in from around Toronto. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby's in here too with you and me. But just the idea of that, and we're going to have hopefully Ellen will check in Friday from Belize. And then we had Anthony, my friend from New Zealand. But we've got contacts now that I'm working on. I'm going to send them the show. With Laura calling us, so I'm going to send to my friend in Australia, New Zealand, and Israel, folks that are I'm hoping to get them all on the show at once,
all these different activists, especially Australia Next, because that's where the next truck rally is coming. But something, you know, I don't know how much, have you been to Canada? Do you know about much about Canadians? You know, have you got a feel for the place or
yeah, I have friends that live in Canada. I've been in Canada and I have friends that live there and they tell me everything that is going on.
Yeah.
They're locking up. If you're older, you're not allowed to go out. This lady, she's like, she's an older woman and she's depressed. She was mandated to get the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
She's a widow. And she's not doing well right now, this woman that we know, this friend. But these people are criminal. And for Christmas, your neighbors were telling if you had guests, so the police will come and arrest them, she was telling us. So she didn't have no one for Christmas. And this is horrible. This is horrible what they're doing to humanity. It is time to stop the killing. It's been going on for too long already. 2 years is too long. And this lady and many are so depressed because they cannot celebrate anything because the law is right there at your doorstep, controlling
your
life.
And why are the police doing this? You know, you've got police. I don't know what they take. I mean, our police take an oath to uphold the Constitution.
Well, they're being controlled by Trudeau, the
criminal. Right.
The criminal gay Castro son, communist. That's what he is. And
I've heard that. Do you have any, is that rumor? You got some Ancestry.com information? Okay.
There's a video on YouTube, and I've seen it a couple years ago, where his mom took Trudeau when he was 9 months old so Castro can meet his son for the first time. And Castro's holding the baby.
Well, Let's talk about Mommy Trudeau for a minute, because I know his father, or at least alleged, is Pierre Trudeau, who was the former Prime Minister of Canada. I mean, when I was a kid, Trudeau the father was Prime Minister, and so. But apparently, Justin Trudeau has a Laura Avalese was telling us that there's a video with Justin Trudeau's half brother, and so they have different fathers. You know, and so the question is, you know, Mama Trudeau, what do we know about her? And if he is the son, if Justin is the son of Castro, I wonder what Pierre thinks of. I think he's passed on now, but that would be fascinating to find out. You know, I mean,
find the video and send it to you.
Yeah,
I'd be interested. The picture they're comparing with Castro when he was young and the mustache and everything looks just like Trudeau, just like him when Castro was young. But they show the picture
funny.
Where the mom took him at 9 months old, so Castro was holding him. They show holding the baby. She wanted
so
for
did
him
she
to
take
meet
a trip,
his son.
Did she take a trip to Cuba 9 months before that or 18 months before that?
Probably,
you know,
yeah.
Well,
we
see,
the,
I mean, that, but that's the thing. You check passport records. It's the same. So in other words, I don't discount these things immediately. I want to kind of look into it. So it's the same thing with, you know, if you say that Obama was born in Kenya, you know, if you do it as a reflex, oh, I bet he was born in Kenya, you know, then people, oh, you're a birther, and they use that to insult you, right? But me, I've actually got,
yeah,
in fact, I'll probably play this next Monday.
I've got
an interview from WEBY when I had Sheriff Joe Arpaio on. And I'll probably play that Monday once I edit the commercials and news breaks out. But he says right on there, he says the birth certificate's a fraud. So when I say
it is.
That I'm convinced that Obama was not a natural-born American and was never eligible to be president, I've got an expert opinion. I got Sheriff Joe Arpaio on tape saying that the long-form birth certificate that Obama put out there is a fraud. Well, I'm going to play it next Monday. I'm going to write a little note to myself. We'll do Sheriff Joe.
And the reason... And the reason Donald Trump didn't continue with the show about his birth certificate is he didn't have time. He didn't have time to waste time with that.
Well, no, it is
people
a waste of
know.
Time. It should be done by by Trump's Justice Department when he gets back in. You know, I mean, there's every, you know, because there's no statute of limitations on a coup, as far as I know. And of course, there's a lot of other people that'll be in jail as well. But Canada, you know, and like I say, I've watch what's going on in Canada because, you know, I was Canadian. You know, when I was in Australia, I was one of the Canadians, you know, and when I came to the United States, I was like called Australian. So it's really interesting. You're always called the last place you were. But so Canada is not known for this. Those people have been pent up and locked up and they have been, you know, and the police, like I say, that swear to uphold the law are basically violating the law with all these mandates. This is why I want to look at Canadian law and see if I can do something with the truckers. In fact, I've already written one of the MPs, one of the members of parliament, who is supporting the truckers, this guy, Pierre Polivino. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Polivier.
You should be able to speak French, Chico.
No, I left Canada when I was 8 years old. They didn't teach me. I wasn't there long enough. I was taking French classes. But
it's like riding a bike. You can never forget.
Well, here's the funny part. When I went to Europe, two times I've been in France after I was taken when I was 5 years old. My parents took me there when I was a kid. But I went when I was 20 in my great European, 3 months college thing. And I took my daughter there to England and France. And we crossed over from Portsmouth to Normandy, across the English Channel on a ferry boat. We got in late. So all the buses that, took you to your hotels, they all gone.
Yeah.
So we're stuck with French cabs. Mm-hmm. And of course, the French cabs, they don't speak English, right? They don't care. They're French cabs. So all of a sudden, French comes back to me. And I got my daughter in the back seat with a couple of French citizens. I'm up the front with the driver because I'm big. And this is a little French car, right? And all of a sudden, French comes back to me. And I start speaking, où est le hôtel border, whatever it was, And, we'd like to go there, nous sommes allés avec hotel, whatever. And it's coming back to me now. It's kind of weird that I'm thinking French, And so the guy nods, ça va. And off he goes. and my daughter, she's looking at me like, Dad, you're speaking French. I said, yeah, I know. I didn't know you knew French. I didn't either.
Yeah.
So it comes back to you. Same thing. I'd love to, if I could spend 6 months in France, I'd be fluent. If I could spend probably a year in a Spanish-speaking country, I'm sure I'd be fluent. Because I took Spanish a little bit too, but not as much as French.
Mm-hmm.
So I could pick up languages. I've just never been exposed to it. I've never been immersed in it. And once you're immersed in it, that's different. So if I was in Canada, I'm sure I'd be fluent in French, just because I'd pick it up out of necessity. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let me continue with my thing that I had written here. Like I said, it's time to stop the killing. We need to pray for all the family that have lost loved ones during this pandemic, because their agenda of Bill Gates, the killer Fauci, and everybody involved, all the countries involved, they were planning to kill half of the world, 50 million innocent in America, not America, because not everybody here in this country is American nowadays. And in so many countries, like I said, are involved for the money. So I'm so proud of the Canadian Truckers Freedom Convoy starting this, and it's like a domino. It's moving all the way to so many different countries. But the Canadian Trucker Freedom Convoy, they are encouraging the American is next. They're going to start from California to D.C., I think, pretty soon. So they're going to be doing the same thing. So Fauci, the CDC, FDA, Bill Gates, they all will have to be arrested, or they're not going to find a place in the earth to hide, let me tell you, because their own people are going to come after them. Watch my words. Not the conservatives will come after them. It's going to be their own Democrat people going to come after them, because so many loved ones have died, on their watch. And
well, they're going to feel betrayed. They're going to feel betrayed
by
the left.
He's already hiding.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think Trudeau is already hiding, because they're going to come after him. But, I truly believe that Trudeau has a lot of Chinese troops in Canada to attack his own people. And also Muslim ISIS are in Canada also to kill his own people that come after him. So it's going to be very bloody. We're going to see darkness before we see the light. And Truth and RTV, Bernie, my friend, keeps saying that on his show, which is true. He's absolutely, we're going to go through darkness before we see the light shining. And we're going to be okay. But a lot of bloodshed is going to be out there in our streets, Europe, and all these countries where they don't have weapons to defend themselves. At least we have our Second Amendment rights, and we're ready to go to fight. We're prepared. But the poor people in all those countries where they're not allowed to have a gun, I feel very sad for them.
You know, it's funny you should talk about that because I've already started talking to our Friday reporters. Friday, we're going to talk about restoring gun rights in Canada. So we're already on that. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, I've got three gun reporters Friday. So we're going to talk about that. I've got another friend of mine who does a gun show on another radio network. She has her own show. I'm already talking to her show. I'm not going to announce it yet until I get confirmation. But this is the golden opportunity. So while I'm talking to the truckers in Canada about restoring their freedoms and getting rid of the mandates, I'm going to include that too. So you guys want to write some gun legislation while you're up there in Ottawa? parked in front of Parliament while you're there. So seriously, this could be the thing that kicks our citizen legislature into high gear. If I start working with the truckers in Canada, that's going to spread worldwide really fast. And every government in the world is going to watch citizens writing legislation. What's that now?
Yeah. I said people are fed up all over the world. Enough is enough.
Yeah, but they don't know what to do.
People's lives. Yeah,
but here's the thing too. So standard methods are protest, emails, camp outside the parliament. But no one's ever taken that additional step of actually writing laws saying, here, this is how we consent to be governed.
Yeah.
This is an entirely new, brand new way. And governments, they have no idea. This could be the test case. This could be the first test case in Canada where you got 50,000 truckers outside parliament. Which I went over earlier in the show, represent a huge percentage of the population in Canada. It's like one and a half to 2% of Canadians are in Ottawa right now. That's how big this is. So they're saying over 1 million people are in that area, which is huge. And they've got $9 million to help fund it, plus private donations, plus you got food, water, gasoline, diesel, and potties, and a lot of blankets. And listen, they're going to be there a while, so it's very interesting. We got Pianki on the line, so I'm going to bring him on the show now, too, as we've had – let's see how much chance –
Can I say something quickly before Pianki comes on?
Oh, yeah, take your time. It's your report, so you got all the time you want. Don't worry about it. Yeah, feel free. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I wanted to say quickly, if the CDC, FDA, our government leaders were very concerned about our health, because they want everybody to have the killer vaccines in our arms. How come Fauci never had a debate bringing a lot of doctors and discussing what's going on with COVID? How can we solve the problem? You know what I mean? Live on TV. Never, ever, none of these crooks, criminals have come and had like a debate with real doctors, because Fauci's not a doctor. He's a freaking criminal. And he actually has a medical degree, but he put him in for good.
He does have a medical degree, but I don't know when he's ever seen a patient. He does not have not a virologist, he's not a microbiologist. He doesn't have any specialties there in those degrees. But he actually does have a medical degree from Cornell University Med School. So initially he got it, but that's basic GP. That's general practitioner. Yeah. He has no specialties.
Yeah.
Other than government.
All he has seen is dollar bills in his hands, and that's it.
Well, yeah.
I think $86 million, so anyway.
What? I'm
good
up for
morning,
that.
Bianki.
Yeah, Josie's hosting the show now. Good morning, Bianki.
Josie, how are you?
Good.
Josie and
good.
Derek, it sounds like everyone is good.
Yeah, the panel's here.
Everybody's on
fire
this morning.
Did you get a chance
this
to listen
girl
earlier?
Is on fire.
What's that, Bianki?
I said, this girl is on fire.
Oh, Bianchi's going to sing.
Yeah,
we need some background music. Hey, listen, send me an MP3 recording. I'll put it into music and we'll have some fun. Yeah, Bianki, did you get a chance to listen? I don't know how much of this you've been able to listen to. That's why we have podcasts. But we had Laura Abelese from Toronto call in the first hour, so a couple hours ago. And then we had Shelby, who's Laura's friend. That's how I got Laura on the show. This has been a wild day. This is one of my favorite shows of all time here, just all the stuff we're able to talk about. So what's on your mind,
you're going to have Greg Pinglis' top hits.
Oh, yeah. Action Radio Classics, brought to you by Greg Pinglis at Action Radio. I'll do my radio voice.
We've been hanging loose. Let's take it as it comes.
Yeah.
I try to be like Alan.
Do what's that now?
Yeah. Try to be like Alan. Just calm, cool, and collected.
And who's that? I missed who you're talking about. Try to be like?
Alan.
Who's Alan?
Alan.
All right.
The guy from Bahamas?
From where?
Alan from the Bahamas. Isn't he from the Bahamas? Or is he from Barbados?
Oh, no, he's from Belize.
From Belize. Oh, I see who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah,
Alan Dawson. I'm sorry. I didn't know who you were talking. I didn't know you were talking about someone on my show. I'm thinking like public figures, things like that. Alan Dawson. Yeah. Calls in from Belize on Fridays when he can. So hopefully we'll get him. So man, yeah, man, you going to like lay back and talk like you're from the islands, man. Yeah. Have a good time.
Uh-huh.
We kick back. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rosie, for getting it all straight.
Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
That's okay. And Pianchi's spelled with a P, not a B, Josie. So we'll get everybody straight here.
Pianchi.
I know you didn't know, but you know now we're into the kickback hour here. It's been really intense. But Pianchi, have you been spending time in Canada? Been up there much? I mean, what's going on right now with the people that are fed up with the truckers going all across Canada? What's happening in Ottawa?
I haven't been in Canada in years, man, decades.
Okay.
It's been a long time before my daughter was born.
Uh-huh.
Long, long time. But no, I'm happy to see what they're doing. There should be more. I thought for sure that the medical workers would do it. And there was a time you would see people that worked in hotels, accommodations, and so forth. They was pretty much together, but the hotel workers, but those are days long gone. But no, the truckers, I'm waiting for them to come down here in the United States and have
well, I did some calculations earlier. If the amount of people in Ottawa, the percentage of Canadians, were in the United States, it would be about 10 million in D.C. That's how big this is. You know, we'd have like 500,000 trucks in D.C., you know, just trucks, not people, trucks. If it was as big as what's happening in Ottawa right now, percentage-wise. Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, Greg, it's going to have to take the truckers to come and put down all these criminals, because I'm so ashamed and very sad that a lot of the doctors and nurses and the whole staff should walk out of the hospitals, because a lot of them know exactly what's going on. They know about all the killing of innocent people, and they're going along with it. And some of them, I said, why don't you quit? He said, I cannot afford to leave my job, you know.
Yeah, so in other words, they're willing to kill people. They're willing to kill people just to keep their job, yeah. And this is actually, if you look at the history of totalitarian governments, use the medical profession all the time. Doctors were huge in Nazi Germany. They were the torturers. They were the ones that ran the camps. You know, Dr. Mengele, you know, the medical profession. Look at the psychiatrists that have been pushing, you know, up until recently, electroshock therapy and some of the other horrible things and the psychotropic drugs. Look at all the antidepressants that are out there right now. So you look at the medical profession, okay, both on the psychological, on the mental, and the physical side. Doctors are the third leading cause of death in the world. You know, or at least in the United States, it's pretty much documented. You know, they kill 500,000 people a year in misdiagnoses. So you've got heart disease as the number one killer. You've got cancer as the number two killer. And the number three is doctors, is the medical profession. Okay. So you've got people that are willing to sell their soul, you know, for money. As Dr. Peter McCullough explained on Joe Rogan's podcast, everybody should watch the Malone and the McCullough. That was before Joe Rogan caved and surrendered and became a wussy, you know, I'm not trying to be controversial. I don't really take a position on anything. I just want my job at Spotify and my $100 million. What a sellout. Well, I'm not going to listen to him anymore.
Yeah.
His good interviews are done. Back when he was good when he was controversial. But now that's over with. Anyway, so McCullough said there are 500 good doctors in this country, and there are about 1 million total doctors. So out of a million doctors that are going along, getting along, doing the system, killing people knowingly, I imagine most of them know that they're killing people. Okay. And you've got 500 that said no. So those are the doctors that need to be, I would replace have them take, you know, voluntary jobs. Not voluntary, but in other words, it'd be nice if they ran the CDC and they ran the NIH, those 500 doctors that really care, but they're not going to, because then they're non-government. They're not into the policy. They're into saving lives. And so 500 out of 1 million is not a large population. So anybody that wants to get cured of COVID has to go to, unless you have your own, you know, you can go to the pharmacy yourself and get your hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, vitamin D3, vitamin C, and zinc. and azithromycin for pneumonia for bacterial protection. If you can do that and get the preventive, otherwise you got 500 doctors to choose from. And, you know, freemd.com, Dr. Ben Marble and some of the other things, he's saved hundreds of thousands of lives just by direct, telemedicine. And so there's some good things. Yeah.
He has, Dr. Marble. But when I call for help locally here, I call him at Gulf Breeze and I call the other doctor he's going to be on today.
None of them
could help because what happened is my friend wanted to get her husband out of the hospital and she's freaking out because if we get him out of the hospital, what is he going to do for oxygen? And nobody will sell you oxygen unless you have a doctor or a prescription and all that. And they didn't have that.
What about his regular doctor?
I didn't get no help.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, I imagine they get well, are you coming tonight? Because I think I know Dr. Viglione's going to be there. She's putting on the thing. Are you coming this evening?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell it to her face that the guy that I tried to call in for help, he's dead. None of them would help. None.
Yeah.
Her and Dr. What is it? Rumble? Crumble?
Oh, Ben Marble's here. Jim Thorpe is in this area. Dr. Deborah Viglione is in this area. There's some other folks.
They didn't
want to
touch. It's like we were like, we didn't know what to do. The wife didn't know what to do at all. But I said, let's come around
doctor?
And see if we can.
Yeah, see,
nobody
their,
will touch it.
Go to the,
his own doctor? Their own doctor wouldn't do anything, wouldn't help him?
No, because once you're admitted at the hospital, they don't want to stick their hands at all. And all we wanted to do was get this man out of the hospital because they started giving him remdesivir and we stopped him and we want him out and just have a doctor help him with his oxygen. And none of them wanted to touch that one and the guy's dead already. So they blew up.
I'm so sorry. We're following the story, but the problem is you never want to go to the hospital in the first place. You know, as soon as you got to get that early treatment, you can't go to the hospital. It's almost too late because then the hospital takes over. It's like, you know, once they've got your body, you know, unless you have an attorney, and even then they're not going by the court orders. They're taking judge's orders and tearing them up. So you literally cannot go to the hospital for COVID.
One of the doctors was saying, when you take the test and if you have to wait 3-4 days, too late. It's way too late.
You can start the preventive anyway.
You know your body and you know if you have COVID. You're going to know. And like you just said, the thing is to take action immediately because by the time you wait for the test, it's too late. It's too late. And that's what happened with this gentleman. He's dead because he went to the hospital. Yeah, he's dead.
He went to the industrial gas place and got oxygen. They sell bottles of oxygen at industrial gas places. It will fill up your medical bottle if you want to get one of those big bottles.
Yeah, but see, you don't know how much to administer to a patient, you know? So, I don't know.
Just turn on until it starts feeling better, I guess.
Yeah, but you can blow up a lung if you don't know how much to give a person, you know, and that's what they
did
at
the strength
hospital
of,
anyway.
They got those gauges. How old it is just a gauge. Turn the gauge to wherever it should be, and same thing.
Would scuba tanks work? I know that's for underwater, but there's still an oxygen
mix.
They
will work.
I'm serious.
I don't know. Yeah.
Industrial gas is like oxygen that's used with it. Oxygen acetylene tank is the same thing as oxygen. It costs about $19.
Wait a minute. We had oxygen in the airplanes. We had tanks of oxygen. You can buy a tank for your airplane. You have these little cannula things, these little tubes that go up your nose, you know, and you're breathing supplemental oxygen. That's for flights above 10,000 feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's available. See, here's the problem. The problem with the doctors, I don't know how to reach them. I mean, I've had trouble reaching the doctors myself. You know, they don't listen to me either. I've been trying to get on. I met a couple of doctors. I'm not going to mention names right now, but it's at these two meetings in Pensacola, the two freedom rallies that Dr. Viglione put on. I'll mention her name because she put it on. You know, so she's obviously public. But I've tried to reach doctors from there. And people have promised I'd be on their show. People have promised that they're connecting me with other people, and I haven't heard back from any of them. So I understand, you know, where you're coming from, being able to talk to these people. I personally think they are so overwhelmed right now because there are so few doctors offering cures that I don't know what the liability is. I don't know any of that stuff. They may not be able to take other patients. You know, once another doctor is like a lawyer, you know, unless you fire your lawyer. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. Yeah. So what people have to do, and this is the message you have to get to people.
Yeah.
You know, I would go on quercetin, which is non-prescription. You can buy it anywhere. Any of your little, you know, health food stores, you know, we have Frick's Pharmacy in Milton, just to give them a shameless plug because I want them on the show. You know, they've got quercetin. They've got vitamin C. They've got vitamin D3. They've got zinc. That's where I get it.
I think the mistake of this family is they took him to the hospital.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people that we've been helping and guiding them on, you know, on getting well, you know, where to go get the meds and all that. You know, I know one of my Filipino girlfriends, she got hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin. Her husband has cancer for a long time. And she was about to take him to the ER. And I said, no, don't do that. You will never see him again. And she got a nebulizer and she got meds inside. And 2 days later, he was breathing fine and he's still alive 2 years later. So, you know,
it's a respiratory infection. Like, so why would you take remdesivir, which destroys your kidney? So I mean, the kidney and the lungs are different places in the body. Okay, I mean, I'm not a genius. I'm not a doctor. Obviously, I would have said so long ago.
But you can
figure it out. I know the difference between a kidney and a lung. Okay, so if you're taking a medicine that destroys your kidney, and then of course all that fluid that normally passes out, and we're not going to talk about it in too great a detail, when that's going into your chest cavity and that's filling up your lungs, okay, and then you're trying to blast it out with a ventilator. That's like standing on the accelerator and the brake of your car. You're doing opposite. You're not doing anything. And of course, the engine blows up. Well, that's what happens to your lungs. You got fluid coming in from one source. You got air coming in from another source. There's not enough room in your chest for both. What do you think is going to happen? You know, people are dying, but hospitals are making $100,000 per death. That's why they're doing it. That's why you never go to the hospital. Every doctor says that. Mikovits, you know, Zelenko, the people we've had on the show, the folks who get in the hearings, Dr. Artis, Dr. Cole, you know, Dr. Corey, you know, the folks McCullough, Malone at the hearing with Senator Johnson, they all say the same thing. Whatever you do, don't go to the hospital with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the hospitals are flooded with people right now. It's out of control in Miami right now.
Yeah. It's because they're vaccinated. They're vaccine injured. See, this, I don't want to say vaccine and unvaccinated. That's not fair. It's vaccine injured and healthy is really what it is.
And you know, Greg, why a lot of the vaccinated or unvaccinated people have COVID pneumonia? The pneumonia is because of the breathing with those nasty masks. They're hurting their lungs. And that's why a lot of people are going to pay the price big time because of those masks, especially
well,
the
growing.
Blue masks.
That's a petri dish. Go ahead, Jackie.
You know, a COVID virus can walk up your cheek and go through your eyes and get back into your nasal passage. Don't people know that?
I don't know how that works, though. The virus actually can walk up your cheek. I'm not convinced of that yet. We'll have to get some more documentation.
Why do you think they are mobile? You can look at them through microscopes and they got legs. What is it?
Viruses?
They scoot along. Yes.
I think you're thinking of protozoans and things with cilia. Although, you know,
I'm not thinking about no COVID. Virus can go right up your cheek and go through your eyeball. They can go through your eyes, your nose, and your mouth.
Okay, I want to see. My favorite thing. Find me a source. Find me something. You know, I'd be curious. I've never heard that before. I've heard that if you touch your mask and touch your eyes. Well, they don't have
mine
to.
Mine was elementary biology. You didn't have that?
I did, but I don't remember ever having seen viruses could walk up your skin. Let's look it up right now. This is where the gene.
Maybe that's why they want for the nurses to wear goggles.
Hang on.
You
let me
know?
Listen. Can viruses across
while
your face?
While you're typing that. A lot of that, I sold out completely on goggles in my store.
Really?
They're making all the nurses at the nursing home wear goggles right now. Actually, Bianchi is correct. And also,
they
those
just
masks,
go through your mouth. They go through your mouth. They go through your mouth. What do they get stuck in the saliva? The saliva kill them. It's acidity. it goes through your nose, it's going to get stuck in the snot.
Thanks for that image.
And Bianchi.
So
also,
much for breakfast for everybody.
Your eyeglasses get foggy because you're breathing and it escaping to go out towards your eyes. You're right.
Have you ever put murine, have you ever put an eye drop, some of those popular ones in your eyes and rubbing it in, and all of a sudden you can kind of taste it in your throat?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a direct connection. But here's the thing. You're rubbing it in your eyes. See, this is the thing. If you touch your mask and touch your eyes, that's how the virus will get there. I was just reading briefly an article that's talking about viruses need to hit your eye on something. Okay. So they get to your hands. They can be an aerosol, too. So they can be in the air in microparticles, not droplets that a mask will actually stop. Big droplets. That's the problem. The problem are the tiny aerosol droplets that go right through the mask. You know, they can be in the central air system. They can be in all kinds of different places. They're usually inside. But if they're riding air currents in an aerosol, or if you touch your face, touch your mask, touch something, you know, and then touch your face, that's the way they go. And, of course, the longer you wear a mask, the more – yeah. Okay, well, that's fine. I want to get to a couple of Josie's points, and I want to take a break here for a second because Josie was talking earlier. Go ahead, Josie.
And you know those blue masks are fully contaminated. Even on the box, because I sell them in my store, it says this mask will not protect you from COVID at all.
No,
can you take
a
picture of that?
If you have on a mask, go in the kitchen where they're frying chicken, you can smell the chicken frying. The mask does not stop those nanoparticles.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Josie, if you have a box, that would be great. If you could take a picture of it, send it to me. Take a picture of what it says and the COVID. Even underline it or underline it, then take a picture.
Yeah,
don't block it out.
I'll send it to you when I get to the
store. We'll post it.
Yeah.
I'll post it. And then
I
want two pictures.
The blue masks are contaminated with tiny, tiny little worms. Your breath, the heat of your breath will activate them. And then you're sucking them into your lungs. It's like a bunch of tiny little parasites that they on purposely put them on all those blue masks. And if you put your mask under hot water, you activate it and then look through a microscope. I don't have a microscope, but it's been showing over and over on the internet that those masks are fully contaminated. And that's why a lot of people are showing up in the ER with COVID pneumonia because of sucking for hours and hours those tiny little parasites. And a lot of people, a lot of times, they don't change their mask. They're all day with
the same mask. They should spray them with Lysol. But you know the most silliest thing I ever saw, and when you really tell me, people don't think. Remember when they first started having this and people had these clear shields that they was putting over their face? Well, hell, the virus, if it's airborne, it can come around the shield. You still breathe in air. It act as if it was a highway of viruses floating through the air that the shield is supposed to shield. That's as if you're working on a site trying to keep particles from getting in your eyes, sawdust and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the usual contention online about whether they're worms, and I just did a quick search, and there's articles, yes, they're worms, there's articles, no, there aren't worms. So we'll have to get some pictures, and we'll get the best source of that. But if you can get a picture of the COVID box, you know, and then the directions, who would say, this does not prevent COVID. That's hysterical. I've read that before, so I know it's there. I mean, I've seen it on boxes myself.
Yeah.
But it's just fun
unless,
to put it out there. Yeah.
Unless you get an N95, it's a little bit better. But still, all those masks are made in China. I don't trust none of them. That's why I don't put none on. And that's why I was making thousands and thousands of masks in the last 2 years. I quit 6 months ago. I'm not making no more. We're done. A lot of people are begging me to make this team, that team. I said, nope, I'm not making a single mask ever again.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Those viruses and bacteria, if people could see what they look like, you know, blown up, they would be actually free. It looks like little monsters. Parasites have mouths, a work of a mouth, and open and close. Look like teeth on them, too, but they don't have teeth.
Look at a microscopic picture of a flea or a louse, and you'll be terrified, you know, or a tick. You see those things close up. They look horrible. They look like monsters out of your worst nightmare. Oh, yeah. Yeah, mosquitoes, they're kind of cold sucking too. Yeah.
Greg, the other day you were talking about going barefooted and all that, and that's what I did when I was a child. I didn't have shoes, and we were full of parasites because the parasites, they come through the bottom of your feet, you know? Mm-hmm. And we didn't know any better. And
you didn't have ivermectin either.
One day,
we used to play in the gutter as water washed down, rainwater washed down the gutter. We used to play in that water.
Washing everything off the street. Yep.
People have heart in the street. People have bled in the street, defecated, everything. So there's things all around you.
Used oil.
Yeah,
we jumped in all that.
And the Spanish country is a little bit different. Yeah,
you got asbestos from brake pads.
Yeah, it's a wonder we all made it this far.
Afraid of COVID with masks on, with shield. That was the most funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've seen that. Here's somebody coming in with shield.
Who's the defense secretary? The affirmative action defense secretary, the one that wears a mask, a face shield. I think he's probably got a headset on. He's probably got, you know, who else, but he's got all this stuff on. Anyway, we're going to take a break. I'm going to play my Santa Rosa Volunteers piece. I think I'll do sedition, the sedition of the law system. I played Federalist 8 number enough. I'm going to be looking into this afternoon the Articles of Confederation, the things that Congress passed, you know, when we had an Articles of Confederation. I want to know how Congress operated. So let me find this piece here. So we'll take a break for a few minutes. You guys grab a cup of coffee, come on back, and let's continue our fun discussion. Open lines here, as they say, 215-383-3832. Live chat is open if you want to get on live chat. And, of course, if you want to call in, the Skype line is always open as soon as I go on the air. So let me find Sedition Act. Here we go. Haven't played this one for a bit. So I'll be back in a little bit. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments. Insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers, here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. This week, I want to break from the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers to consider one of the many aberrations in the early days of the land of the free. That is the Sedition Act of 1798. Granted, this is always grouped with the companion bills on aliens, but I see them as separate issues. Why would a new government, formed from colonies under rules of sedition from a foreign monarch, bring about that same tyranny into our government so early in its existence? The Constitution was ratified on September 17, 1787. The Bill of Rights was ratified on December 15, 1791. So it was already in the supreme law of the land that Congress could make no law that abridged the freedom of speech, thus making any subordinate law on sedition unconstitutional automatically. And yet, it happened. All power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Therefore, if you have a government of good laws and yet bad officials who crave the preservation of power more than the alleged guarantees of freedom, freedom takes second place. You can see that in evidence throughout the entire government response to a coronavirus that would have run its course naturally in about 10 weeks, just like the flu every year, and would have been gone by the summer of 2020 when all viruses fade until the winter. And yet, look at the massive amount of power taken from the people in a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Sedition is defined in my online dictionary as conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. So what did the government put into a law that so obviously came from the former ruler of the colonies into the new government of the United States? The Sedition Act is titled An Act for the Punishment of Certain Crimes Against the United States. In other words, conduct or speech that criticizes the government. Where have we heard that before? Section 1 of the Sedition Act reads, "Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America, in Congress assembled,
that if any persons shall unlawfully combine or conspire together with intent to oppose any measure or measures of the government of the United States, which are or shall be directed by proper authority, or to impede the operation of any law of the United States, or to intimidate or prevent any person holding a place or office in or under the government of the United States from undertaking, performing, or executing his trust or duty, and if any person or persons with intent as aforesaid shall counsel, advise, or attempt to procure any insurrection, riot, unlawful assembly, or combination, whether such conspiracy, threatening, counsel, advice, or attempt shall have the proposed effect or not, he or they shall be deemed guilty of a high misdemeanor. This, of course, violates the entire First Amendment, except with regard to religion. It gets worse. Section 2 says in part, "And be it further enacted, that if any person shall write, print, utter, or publish, or shall cause or procure to be written, printed, uttered, or published, or shall knowingly and willingly assist or aid in writing, printing, uttering, or publishing any false, scandalous, and malicious writing or writings against the government of the United States, or either House of the Congress of the United States, or of the President of the United States, with intent to defame the said government, or either House of the said Congress, or the said President, or to bring them, or either of them, into contempt or disrepute, or to excite against them, or either or any of them, the hatred of the good people of the United States." In other words, saying anything against the government of the United States or anyone in it is a crime punishable by jail and fines. This effectively creates political prisoners in the United States, much like the innocent people in the D.C. Gulag jail for being in the Capitol building January 6th. If that were not bad enough, within the Sedition Act is probably the most dangerous provision to individual liberty that I have yet seen in the founding documents, and provides a shocking precursor to the future neutralization of our jury system and the supremacy of the government courts over the people. Section 3. "And be it further enacted and declared that if any person shall be prosecuted under this act for the writing or publishing any libel aforesaid, it shall be lawful for the defendant upon the trial of the cause to give an evidence in his defense, the truth of the matter contained in publication charged as a libel, and the jury who shall try the cause shall have a right to determine the law and the facts under the direction of the court, as in other cases." The key words here are "under the direction of the court." The whole point of a jury is to not only determine the guilt of the defendant, the restitution in a civil case, but most important for the jury is to determine whether the laws implied are fair, just, constitutional, and are not arbitrary and capricious reservoirs of unlimited government power over the people. Jurors can do whatever they want because they are the representatives of the people over the judges who work for the government and therefore work for the people. And yet, as virtually every judge instructs their juries, that they can only judge the facts of the case and not the law. That lie is repeated every day in courts all across the country. And now I see where it came from. Section 3 is really saying that the juries, and therefore the people, are under the direction of the court. What the Sedition Act really does is makes criticism of the government a crime and allows government judges to direct the juries that would hear any case under this act, thus destroying the right of free speech and to redress grievances against the government and to due process and the right to a jury trial of one's peers. One could imagine anyone charged under this act would be guilty until proven innocent, and then ruined by government if they were proved innocent. Can you think of any parallels to the rights of free speech today? The Sedition Act was approved July 14, 1798, signed by John Adams, President of the United States. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it.
Thank you. Action Radio, dedicated to fixing everything.
All right, we're back for the last half hour of the show. We've got Pianki and Josie, our regular callers, panelists, citizen legislators, and people extraordinaire. And so in the remaining 31 minutes and 25 seconds, the reason I played the Sedition Acts is because that's what these folks in Ottawa, are most likely to be charged with. That's what the folks were charged with basically in Washington, the January 6th folks in the Capitol, even though they were set up to be there. But they're saying insurrection, but no one's been charged with insurrection. So they're basically sedition, which is criticizing your government, you know, speaking against your government, acting against your government. And so I think very well Canada, which probably has sedition laws, you know, I'm going to talk about that. But that's why I played that particular one, even though it's a little bit long. But how do you think this is going to shake out? Let's go to Josie first. What do you think is going to happen? How's the government going to respond to this with little Justin Trudeau? What's he going to do when he decides to come out of his cabin and go back to Ottawa? Or maybe he won't go back to Ottawa. I don't know. Josie, what do you think?
In my mind, I see a lot of tragedy. Trudeau is going to use his military against the innocent people.
And what will that do for him? What will that do for him, given the world's watching right now?
He doesn't care. Communist people don't care if the world is watching.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's fair enough.
He's in power and control, and he's going to use his military against these people and arrest a lot of innocent people, and it's coming.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's my
opinion.
So
this is my question is, unlike the January 6th where they basically photographed everybody and went after them in their homes, you know, months later, these truckers are right there right now, and it doesn't look like they're going anywhere. And they literally have the streets gridlocked. You've got trucks three deep, you know, on all the streets. You've got them bumper to bumper, and they're not going anywhere. So is the National Guard going to start, you know, picking them up and towing them out, or are they going to start arresting people, or what do you think? Or is the military going to come in and, you know, surround the city of Ottawa and put the truckers under siege? How do you see this going?
You asking Pianki or me?
No, you. I ask you. Just, you know, let's explore some of the things. You're saying he's going to send the military in. So I'm saying, what are they going to do? And then I'll get to Pianki with a P.
Well, he's going to use his power. Quiet. Don't make fun of me.
Sorry.
He's going to use his power with his military or police, and he's going to arrest a lot of people, and you'll see it. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all right.
People are criminal.
Yeah. Well, that's why I play the sedition law. That's what, like I said, that's most likely what they'll be charged with. Pianki, how do you see this going?
Well, I don't know the laws in Canada, but I agree with Josie. Anything could happen from bringing out the military or bringing out hot chocolate and cupcakes. So I'm happy to see people who believe that they are being infringed. I happen to see them come out and protest that way. That's what they should do. We need to have more of that going on in the United States, where we should understand the laws and understand the reason why come the actions are going on.
Okay, well, let's talk about what Brandon would do. What you know, if we had the equivalent of 10 million, you know, people, Americans in there. Let me get my percentages out again, because in Canada the numbers are staggering. You know, they're not big numbers per se, but considering that Canada only has 38 million, it's like one-ninth the U.S. population. They've got – I ran this earlier. 38 million people in Canada, that's 1% of that is 38,000, okay? 2% is 76,000. They've got 53,000 trucks. So if every truck has one driver, that's about 1.5% of the entire Canadian population is in Ottawa, and that's just the truckers. That's just the truck drivers. That doesn't count the cars, the passengers, all the other folks that came there, walked there, drove there, did everything they could to be there. Laura figures there's probably close to a million, million five there. Well, that many people, you know, 380,000 Canadians is 1%. Okay, so if you've got 1.5 million, you're talking about 2, you know, plus percent, 600,000. So that'd be about 3% of the Canadian population or more. 3% of the American population. Just to make it clear, we've got 330 million. Let me do some quick numbers here. So 330 million, 1% of that would be 3.3 million. 3% of that would be 9.9, would be 10 million people. So the equivalent, if as many people were in D.C. right now as are in Ottawa, as many Canadians were in Americans were in D.C. as Canadians in Ottawa, we'd have 10 million people in D.C. and we'd have about 500,000 trucks.
Well,
that's
you
a
asked
staggering
the question, what
amount
would
of
Brandon
people.
Do?
What's that now? What would Brandon do?
He
what
can't
would
do anything.
Do?
That's not his. He can't do anything. The president don't have any authority to say anything about people demonstrating or protesting
uh-huh.
within a state in the streets or wherever. He can't do nothing.
Well, don't you remember all the National Guard troops that surrounded the Capitol after they arrested everybody? I mean, they basically blockaded the Capitol, the people's house. You know, they took our Capitol, our house. Our we paid for that building.
That's,
you know, that's American, you know, taxpayer property. Yeah. And they said they put 30,000. Yeah.
That's the difference between the United States and every place else. We have an inherent right to do mm-hmm. what you see the truckers doing. And it's
yeah, but they
state
still arrested people.
Issue.
Okay. So let's
well,
talk about
state-by-state issue.
So do you think the Canadian military is going to blockade, arrest,
I don't
capture?
Know nothing. And I'm at a disadvantage, Greg. I don't know anything about Canada. I only know about the United States. And when I look at Canada and
uh-huh.
that's the Trudeau, which Josie made mention, I just
right.
shake my head. Once again, I'm happy to be a United States citizen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too.
Amen.
You know, and I was born there.
But, Greg,
yeah.
I think Trudeau will use the Muslims, ISIS, and Chinese troops that he has in his country. I don't think he'll be using maybe some of the radical police or military, but I think the military will stand probably against him, against their own people there. So that's why he has brought thousands and thousands of ISIS, Muslim terrorists in Chinese to Canada.
See, that's what
that's
another
what,
of those things I need
wait,
some
wait.
I need some confirmation of
I think
that.
That's what
where
Biden is doing here.
Yeah.
Greg, I think that's exactly what Biden's plan is. He wants to bring over 30 million illegals, and a lot of them are men. They're coming in the middle of the night, every night right now. And I truly, personally believe that a lot of the weapons that so-called we left behind Afghanistan, it's not true. Most of the weapons are here in the hands of all the terrorists and Muslims from Afghanistan and
mm-hmm.
illegals, MS-13 and cartels coming in here because they're going to be fighting the American people, because I don't think the military will allow Biden to use the military against citizens. So that's what Biden's plan is. And I think with a mentality of communists, because I lived through it and I personally knew so many communists, and I think that's what's happening in America. We're going to be facing terrorists and a lot of MS-13 cartels here to be fighting against them.
Well,
that's
interesting. We got 2 million. We got 2 million illegals. We probably got between 30 and 40 or more, or 45 million illegal aliens here already, plus extended family members, things like that. You know, so that's basically, you know, kind of a private army if they're organized. I don't think they're organized. You know, because these people are here for the benefits. They're here for the money. The good folks that want to come to this country, the good immigrants are you know, being productive. So that's not a problem. But yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
I don't think a lot of the illegals, DACA kids that they have grown up here, a lot of them love America. I don't think those are the ones I'm talking about, the ones
mm-hmm.
they've been here for 20, 30 years, because they know better. I think
mm-hmm.
the ones that he's brought in just now, that he said he wanted to bring over 30 million, and they're coming by the millions every
mm-hmm.
Every couple months. They're here.
So,
I
but the question is, where
are
they going?
Being used, they're being promised. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, we can solve this at the county level because there are thousands of counties in this country, and we've got a bill here, you know, before our county commission in Santa Rosa County, Florida, that
mm-hmm.
Creates an illegal alien-free zone. Now, they haven't taken it up yet. I don't know why, because they're a bunch of geldings, you know, gelding Republicans. But
mm-hmm.
the means to do this is here. And here's the thing, too. So say Canada, say the truckers, I can start to work with the truckers. And say I can work with the bills that they have. And say I can go into Canadian law and the Canadian Constitution, and we can propose amendments, and we can actually write them up on the show, you know, while everybody in the trucks is listening to us. Okay. I mean, think about that. Think about, you know, tuning into Action Radio, writing legislation with truckers parked out in front of the Parliament building in Ottawa. This is a staggering potential development not just for us. I mean, we're just the means to the end. But think about the fact that the people, first time in world history, will have the opportunity with the technology available to actually write the laws they consent to be governed by while they're outside of the government, while they're outside of the parliament in Canada. The potential for this is huge. So this is where I'm looking at it, okay? So I know you're looking at the dark side of it, of the military. I don't see how with the media, with the alternative media we have out there, with the drones that are constantly photographing, with the groups that are reporting on this, with media that's, you know, even Tucker Carlson of Fox News has been all over this. He made fun of Trudeau last night, something that was a spectacle to watch. It was incredible to see what was happening there. And so he's being ridiculed. And ridicule, as we know, is one of the three planks of removing mass psychosis and tyrannical leaders. First is truth. Second is ridicule. Third is parallel structures. We're that parallel structure. We are a legislature parallel to the government legislature. Go ahead.
Does the Canadian people have that type of leeway? I don't think they do.
I don't know yet.
But,
let's find out. Maybe that's part of what we have to resolve in Canada. Maybe they need
well,
that kind of leeway.
What did the Constitution? What did the Constitution say? The Constitution of Canada, if there is such a thing, you got
there is.
What they got, providence. So do they have providence constitutions like we have here, state constitution? I don't think Canada is set up like that for the people that have the leeway. I'm not sure.
I've got it somewhere. I have a whole section. I have a whole folder on international law, and so Canada has constitutions. They have plural. They have different documents that govern judiciary, govern legislature, things like that. So they're kind of separate. So I have to go through it and find out. But I do. I am in contact with a member of parliament right now in Canada. I'm just waiting for him to message me back. Hopefully he will, you know, but at least that, you know, I've reached out to a member of parliament, and that's someone who could explain how Canada functions. And he's with the truckers.
Well, I hear people,
you know, this
talk
guy,
about
Pierre Poli, whatever his name is. Yeah. Go ahead.
I hear people talk about international law. That don't mean jack. In the United States, we have a U.S. Constitution. I hear people talk about human rights law. That don't mean jack. It's just something that sounds good and exciting. What international body is going to force an international law in the United States? What international body is going to go down to them good old boys down there in Tennessee and Alabama is going to try to force the law?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Listen, and this is why I question Jody's analysis of the fact that the military is going to go in. I personally don't think they can. I think there are too many people in Ottawa. I think there are too many cameras in Ottawa. I think there are too many video, Instagram, Facebook, well, the Facebook might ban it, Rumble, BitChute. I think there's too much, and too many people know about this worldwide. I mean, worldwide communication is instantaneous. That's actually saving them. If this were, you know, 1930s Germany, they'd all be dead by now. They'd all be arrested. Their trucks would be confiscated. This would have been over, you know, within a day. The media would have been blacked out. Nobody would have known what happened, except they have their little instamatic cameras, but that's not that. And those have to be developed and sent out, distributed and printed. No, this is a different world now. So what I think is going to happen, quite honestly, I think they're just going to wait them out. I think Parliament's going to suspend. I think they're going to wait until the truckers get tired of this and go away. And then it's back to – or they'll promise. They'll say, well, let's meet with the truckers. They'll meet with the truckers, and they'll say, yes, we're listening to your grievances. Yes, and they photograph this, and this makes all the documentaries. And the truckers are happy because they met with Parliament. And they're saying, yes, isn't this wonderful? And then they go, we've won. We've won. They declare victory, and they go home. And then Parliament goes back into session and issues another mandate. That's how I think this is going to go.
With a nationwide protest will require every person that's against the mask at the top of each hour to go outside and cough for 15 seconds. That would be a protest.
I think they should all jump off their trucks at the same time and see if they can create a little earthquake. And that's what I'd do. I'd organize things like that. I'd have entertainers. I think U.S. conservatives should be up there right now. I think Kid Rock should be, well, it'd be a little cold for him. I think he should be giving a concert. You know, all the conservatives up there should be, Ted Nugent should be up there giving a concert. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. Hey, maybe I'll do a press release on that. Yeah, let's do that. I'll write that up for today. Press release.
Tell people all the trucks could drive west, and at a particular hour, all stop in order to slow the rotation of the earth. So it's a lot of things they can do.
Where did you get that from? Nugent in Canada. So what do you think? Nugent in Canada, would that be a good idea?
Who?
I actually know there. I've been trying to reach their press person at Nugent's organization to get him on the show. A lot of things we're trying to do here. I mean, the things that we're trying to accomplish here is amazing.
You know, they had a.
Go ahead.
They had a military coup in Burkina Faso. And the first thing that they went and took over was the news. They ran them all out the damn stations.
Yeah. Let me get you an article here. I've got a few minutes. I can go through some of this here. Canada Free Press. This is a a friend of mine, Judy McLeod, runs this, and she's the publisher editor. And she wrote this. This is, I think, January 30th. So this is a couple of days ago. Freedom Convoy 2022, Turning the Tables on Trudeau and the Great Reset, which is exactly what we've been talking about. She says, the world awakened this Sunday morning to the capital of Canada under siege, even in desperate mainstream and social media attempts to hide, bury, and downplay it. Okay, so this is 2 days ago. It is not the throngs of thousands of citizens in Ottawa shivering in winter's brutal cold, but elected elitists willing to give the Western world over to the now finally stalled Great Reset and its phony claim to build back better. One of the Great Reset's key henchmen, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, has already cut and run. Hope the bonfire set alight in human hearts is keeping the truckers and supporters of Freedom Convoy 2022 warm and steadfastly focused on point. Freedom Convoy 2022 and each of its members, down to the last one, now lead the entire world in the dogged fight to end discrimination and division of populations by their elected leaders. Trudeau has left the battlefield of his own free will. Truckers and their supporters will stay on the battlefield until lawmakers repeal the vaccine mandate. Not just for truckers hauling life-sustaining freight across the Canadian-U.S. border, but for freedom-seeking citizens the world over. The Canadian National Anthem, words of which Justin Trudeau had rewritten back February 1st of 2018, all because the word sons offended his fragile sensibilities, never sounded so good. Yeah, I got to find out the new Canadian National Anthem. I haven't heard it. I sang it as a kid, of course, because, that's what we did in school. The Canadian flag that flew at half mast for over 5 months on Trudeau's orders, even though his accusations that the Catholic Church was responsible for the massive burial of Indigenous children at Canadian residential schools proved to be wrong, is being seen in its deserved glory the world over. The mainstream and social media are being shown up for what the majority of them are, fake news. The attempts of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the CBC, up in Canada, claiming in reports that the truckers have been infiltrated by Russian operatives, actors are pathetic. Amid escalating protests, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has fled the capital city of Ottawa. Canadian Safety Minister refuses to confirm CBC broadcast of Russians surrounding the city. It's funny. Filling in for CBC's Power and Politics presenter Vasi Kapalos on maternity leave, Neil Koskoksal asked Canadian Minister of Public Safety Marco Mendicino on Friday night, because of Canada's involvement with Ukraine, is it possible for Russian operators and actors to infiltrate the convoy? So my thing is, as soon as you hear the word Russian, you know it's a lie. The Russians are here. Russians are doing crazy things. We've got the Russians. This is a Russian operation. We've got Putin behind Canadian truck drivers. He's probably funding Russian pipeline oil for Nord Stream 2 coming directly to Canadian truck drivers. What do you think? Do you think this is a Russian plot or not? What do you think going on here? Chelsea, tell me, what do you think? Is Putin behind Canadian truck drivers?
Привет, спасибо. Хорошо.
Oh. Здравствуйте, как
поживаете? I speak a little Russian, too.
Комрад. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Kind of Jesse Carmichael. I don't mean that. Anyway, yeah. But, they run to Russia. It's like they're political homing pigeons. They always go back to what their home. And their home is Russian collusion. It's the Russians. And who cooperated more with Russia than the left? From Armand Hammer. Remember him, Armand Hammer?
Yeah.
To all the folks to Russian cooperation. I mean, the leftists love Russia. Who gave Russians the bomb? Leftists, American leftists, in the State Department and the Rosenbergs, they gave Russia the bomb because they wanted us to be equal. States having the only bomb, that's terrible. Even though we're the good guys.
What happens with the Democrats is everything that they're doing themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what blaming innocent people.
Yeah, it's called projection. Yeah.
That's communist mentality. And I know it very well.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they do. But I don't think Russia's involved with Q Canada right now.
Oh, no, of course not. I don't think they're. No. I think it's funny.
No. China is, but not Russia.
Let me see if I can find my article in Australia. This is a little Australian update, too, because this is kind of fascinating also.
I wrote my girlfriend to see if she wants to be my guest, and I don't know how we're going to work out. She lives in Australia. Maybe
oh,
she
yeah.
can share
well, we
with
a
us
line.
A little bit what's happening with the vaccines, you know.
Yeah, no, we've got a Skype line if anybody wants to join us. So it's right on our broadcast page. Live. Colon
yeah.
period CD something whatever it is yeah that's fair game too. So where's my Freedom Fright Nation? Oh yeah, well, let me talk about this for a second because we got Bianca in the line too. There's something that Lee, who's the lawyer that works with Thomas Renz? Lee something. What I forgot her last name.
No, I don't know.
But they've got a project, a Freedom Fighter Nation. We're going to be talking about this too. Apparently, the pilots are violating all kinds of rules, including Canadian and American rules, by flying after the vaccine. So the airlines are ordering pilots to fly the vaccine. It's downright dangerous. So here's the thing too. This is from Freedom Fighter Nation. Ensuring cardiac fitness to fly. In December of 2021, our team became aware of the fact that the FAA and commercial airline industry appeared to be acting in concert to ignore federal regulations that would be Title 14 CFR Section 61.53, for those of you that follow this kind of stuff, and its associated guidance, which together prohibit medical doctors from medically clearing pilots to fly if the pilots have taken products that have been on the market less than 12 months after initial FDA approval. Of course, none of these vaccines are approved. They're all experimental, right? So none of these fit the FAA definition of being approved for 12 months, okay? And then it says, and of course, now pilots are flying with wholly unapproved COVID-19 vaccines in the system, kind of what I just said. He says, we thus wrote a letter signed by attorneys Robert Kennedy Jr., who does Children's Health Defense, Mary Hollins on Tom Renz, who runs as well as renowned cardiac expert Dr. Peter McCullough, we've heard that name before, Dr. Ryan Cole, and two Lieutenant Colonel flight surgeons in the U.S. Army, among others, urging the FAA and carriers to immediately run all vaccinated pilots through EKG and cardiac MRIs to ensure cardiac fitness to fly, as well as D-dimer tests, I'm not sure what those are, to rule out any pilots who might have the beginning of clotting and stroke issues. And then they got a link to a 10-page letter. So are you going to fly anybody? I'm not. Not as long as the pilots are taking COVID shots. They could be, go ahead, Bianchi, then I'll get to Josie. Yeah, Bianchi?
Well, go ahead, Josie, make comment on that. I was going to make a comment on another event.
I was going to say on flying, last year, before I was going to fly to a big event with Lynn Wood and a lot of important people, in St. Louis, Missouri, I canceled my flight the night before because I was watching a video of how many pilots were collapsing with seizures while they were up in the air because of the air pressure due to the vaccine. So I canceled my flight the night before. And just 2 days ago, I finally got my refund back from American Airlines. They want your money, and I bought the insurance so I can get my money back, and they were refusing to give my money back. So I fought, and I finally got over $1,000 worth of tickets for me and my husband. But I was afraid to travel once I seen that video, and I told my husband, I'm sorry, but you and me are going to have to drive the 12 hours. So that was a decision the night before.
Take the train.
I wanted to have my
drive.
Own car once I got there.
Yeah. Your own car is safer, yeah. Well, if, for example, CPAC, I'm going to drive to Orlando, which from Milton is like an hour, so that's no big deal. But if there's a convention in Vegas and pilots are still mandated to take vaccines and they still have mask mandates, I very well would drive to Vegas. I don't know. Is that 12 hours or how long does it take to get there?
More.
Let's see. Let me put Vegas into my GPS. See how long it takes to drive there.
But what were you going to say, Bianchi, before?
Yeah, Bianchi. What was your comment?
You know the officer that got killed in New York, the officers, and they had this big funeral, and you had thousands and thousands of police officers. Where there was an actress named Jacqueline Guzman, who was a member of Face to Face Film, and she was on social media complaining about the traffic, the streets being blocked off. She asked a simple question, what if somebody was having a heart attack? Well, the film company fired her. So we still in this council culture. She has a right to make that comment if she wants to in this country.
Well,
that's
so
their lives
yeah.
another problem.
So let me get this straight. Yeah, I heard about this, but I'm not clear on the details. So who is she working for? She works for a film company?
She was a member of Face to Face Films.
Okay.
And the company announced that her insensitive video, which was on TikTok, I guess it was, uh-huh. and what she said, the comment she made, that what if a person was having a heart attack?
So was there a protest, or what was the holdup in traffic in New
York?
Oh,
no, people were there for the funeral. You had about, I guess, probably 30,000 New York police officers, and they blocked off several streets or however. And she brought the question up in her video that went viral, of course, and then the company fired her. And I think she has a good lawsuit. She has a right to make those statements.
Well, and it's a true question. We had this. I thought it was a protest that you were talking about initially, but I didn't know it was a funeral for a police officer. Because those routes should be published ahead of time. They know what streets are blocked off. They know what they're going to do for the funeral. And, you know, if they expand it because of, you know, more and more people, then you work around that. I understand that. But it is a problem that someone has to get through. What if someone had a heart attack in the funeral? You know, I mean, that's very possible. You get that many people together. In fact, they're going to have to worry about medical care in Ottawa, too, because it's, you know, hypothermia is going to be their biggest problem. Until it warms. I'm surprised they didn't wait a couple of months until it's a little warmer, but, you know, I guess that's how these things sort of happen. But in San Francisco, of course, we have bridges. There's 7 bridges in the Bay Area, which connect the North Bay to the East Bay, the South can drive up, and the peninsula. So San Francisco is on a peninsula. Then you've got San Francisco Bay. To the north, you've got Marin County. To the east, you've got Contra Costa and Alameda County. And to the south, you have San Jose County. And you can drive around the bay or you can cross the bridges. But any of those bridges were easily blocked by Black Lives Matter, by Antifa, by the protests when Trump was running, and critical mass, this insane bike group of wacko bicyclists trying to get everybody out of their cars. Once a month, they block the exit ramps or the on-ramps to the Oakland Bay Bridge, which is, you know, carries like 3 times the cars the Golden Gate does. But they block it off for like 3/4 of an hour on a Friday, and traffic would be backed up for 3 or 4 hours. It's insane. And anybody that had a heart attack or a medical emergency or a pregnancy, delivering a birth, you know, any of those kind of things or, you know, whatever was going on, you couldn't cross. You couldn't get on the bridge. You couldn't go around the city when these massive protests were going on. The highways up and down the East Bay, Black Lives Matter in Oakland, which has a large black population, would routinely block, I think it was called Highway 17 or 880, you know, up and down the East Bay, right across from San Francisco, you know, where Oakland is. And so this kind of stuff, we talk about that all the time. You block the bridges, you block the highways. We're always concerned. In fact, there were, you know, people were delivered in their cars, you know, who couldn't get through because there was some kind of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, some leftist group protest. So this is common and it's dangerous, especially when you have a place with so many bridges, because you block a bridge, you know, they block the Golden Gate Bridge and that's it. And then there was a protest a few months ago blocking the Golden Gate Bridge for some stupid reason. But yeah, these are, you know, you've got to keep the public access open. Otherwise, people die. Jackie?
I hear you.
Yeah.
But this here is revealing a serious problem that we have. You got this culture of today that has these particular attitudes. It's like what was the guy's name that was out there in Sacramento doing a petition, getting people to sign saying that unvaxxed people should be in prison, and all those that was coming up saying, oh, yes, they was agreeing with it. So this culture
the guy that does is that Louder with Crowder? Does these fake petitions? Yeah, do you think we should have a Marxist take over the U.S. government? It'd be great. Everybody would be equal. We'd have equal distribution of income. Does that sound good? And people are like, yeah, that's great. Let me sign up here, idiots. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Or like, do you ever see the is it Ari Nelson? Or I forgot what his name. There's Ari something. I forgot his last name. He's a filmmaker, and he was in University of California, Berkeley. And he was talking about, you know, talking to white liberals, you know, that black people are disadvantaged and they can't get IDs and they don't know where the you know, where to vote. And they have all these problems and there's voter suppression going on. Republicans are keeping, you know, African-Americans from voting. All the white liberals are going,
they
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And what's that now?
They can't get IDs. They can't do. They can't read.
Yeah.
Can't do math. Can't pass college entrance exams.
Oh yeah,
heck?
Yeah, exactly. So I'll post the video. It's Ari something, A-R-I, and I've forgotten his last name. Anyway, so he does
they
this.
They all have ID.
Oh, well, you know, here's the thing. Hold on. Let me get to the punchline. We've only got a minute left. And so all these white liberals are decidedly racist, right? They think the black people are idiots, you know, and they're, you know, because that's who they are. And then, of course, he goes to Harlem, and he talks to a woman who's a webmaster, and he talks to some other people, and it's like, well, they think, and they showed him the video. So, well, these folks in the University of California think you don't know how to get an ID, and you don't know where to register to vote, and you know, and the woman's like, I'm a webmaster. I create websites on a daily basis. What are you talking about? What do you mean don't know how to get an ID or don't know where to vote? That's insane, you know. And it was just hysterical to see the contrast between the two. But that's what liberals think. You know, black people like farm animals to be taken care of. You know, that's their mentality. This is why you got to get rid of the Marxists and the Democrats, because this is what they're doing. Anyway, Pianki, I'll give you the last word on that, and then that'll be it for today.
You're absolutely right. It's totally ridiculous. Then what happens when children see this, of these families, of these adults, they grow up and continue to madness.
So, which proving my theory that critical race theory is designed to keep black Americans dependent on Democrats and government. It's not going after the white kids. They're going after the black kids to make sure they stay dependent and feeling inferior. That's the big problem. All right. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thank you all. Greg Panos for Action Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, Josie. At blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Our website for our legislation, writeyourlaws.com, writeyourlaws.com. And, of course, if you want to help us out here, you can contribute at paypal.me/actionradio. You can email me at greg@writeyourlaws.com. And to the Canadian truckers, if you want to write legislation, I'm just a phone call away at 215-383-3832 on the air 6 to 9 in the morning Central Time. And I hope to get you on the air soon.